You can come round and talk down to me about my garden anytime. Jamie Butterworth, Ambassador for the Royal Horticultural Society Gardens. Enjoy them. Love it. Thank you very much indeed. You know, I should have asked him, really, when he's ever lied about his garden. But it doesn't sound like he does. He sounds far too sensible. John Holmes is here. I bet you've lied about your garden.
Lied about my garden?
Yeah. I bet you're all sort of like, oh, yeah, yeah, I grew those courgettes myself.
I couldn't grow anything. I know nothing about gardens.
I can kill any plant at 10 paces.
I can't. I mean, just no. I mean, all I do in my garden is basically pick up after the dog.
Oh, that's nice. That's a lovely image for everyone.
But I do keep it clean in that sense. But no, I can't grow anything.
So your main claim to fame, we've got a lovely garden. Mm. It's not full of dog poo.
No, it certainly is not. And I make sure of that.
Human?
Oh,
no.
All sorts. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What's happening on your show?
Well, antibiotics is happening on the show. And should we be taking them?
Is that an item or is it not?
I'm just going to take as many as possible to see if I feel better.
I was going to say, I've seen your crew. I've seen your production staff.
You need something to get through it.
They absolutely need.
And I can tell you that today's edition of Paul Rossmaster, which you know to be a quiz about Paul Ross, the life and work of Paul Ross.
Quiz on the radio.
Someone off of Love Island that I've never heard of. He's going to have a go at it.
Johnny Seifert, who a regular talk radio listeners will know of. Johnny Seifert, one of our producers here, he is obsessed with Love Island. Yeah. Even now it's finished. So he will probably be drooling at the door when you have that person.
It will, yeah. But that's happening. And then, yeah, and then just nonsense and stuff.
No, not so usual nonsense after 1 o'clock. Yeah, thank you very much. John Holmes will be here not lying about his garden because he's a good soul. This is Talk Radio. I'm back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Do stay tuned.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lip.
Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
Pulling pints at a golf club was boring. But since joining the Navy as a steward, no 2 days have been the same. I've learned loads of new skills that have helped me serve high-profile officials in places as far-flung and exotic as the Caribbean and the Indian Ocean. I'm now fully qualified in hospitality management, so I could leave and help run a hotel. But why do that, when I can help run a state-of-the-art Navy warship? I was born in London, but I was made in the Royal Navy. Start your journey. Search Made in the Royal Navy.
I could tell you at length how the variable geometry turbo and direct injection helped the new engine produce 164 PS. How a reduction in swept piston volume has improved fuel economy without sacrificing torque delivery. Or that it's so efficient it meets Euro 6 emissions without adding any of that AdBlue stuff. But you haven't got time for all that. The new generation Isuzu D-Max. It just works. To book a 48-hour test drive, visit the pickup professionals at isuzu.co.uk.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shave and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shave for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
Morning. Sorry, Stevie's a bit poorly, so we won't be coming to nursery today.
Okay, thanks for letting us know.
So I brought Max instead. I packed his favourite toy. He normally naps twice a day and loves playing outside.
Like getting your money's worth? Try the spicy chicken snack wrap. Just £1.49 from the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
1 o'clock, Thursday. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. With you till four. Victoria's got the news now.
Thanks, John. Coming up, record number of inmates mistakenly released. Madonna wins damages over adoption article. And the Mercury nominations are out.
Talk Radio.
More prisoners were released by mistake in England and Wales last year than at any other time since current records began. Official figures show 71 inmates were let out in the 12 months till March. Violence has also reached a new high. Francis Crook from the Howard League for Penal Reform says the system's in a mess.
We have far too many people who are spending too long in prison. We have lots of people who are being recalled to prison when it's not necessary. That's for administrative reasons. We have a penal system. It's not just prisons, but the whole system is in chaos and is not functioning well.
The Justice Secretary says improving safety and security in jails is his top priority. A major study is being commissioned to look at how EU migration affects the UK, but the research is not due to be completed until September next year, which critics say is too late. The deadline has passed for the parents of Charlie Gard to agree with doctors on how their terminally ill son will die. A judge had asked all parties to try to come to an agreement by midday. Jason Haddon, a barrister specialising in children's law, has told Talk Radio details of the hospice won't be revealed.
That must be right, because the one thing that this couple need more than anything is some peace, some quiet, so they can deal with the loss of their son in the best way they possibly can. It's going to be horrendous for them.
Madonna and her adopted twin daughters have accepted undisclosed damages over a Mail Online article which invaded their privacy. It was posted in January ahead of their adoption and revealed their names, race, age and the fact they still lived in an orphanage in Malawi. And Ed Sheeran and Stormzy have both been nominated for this year's Mercury Prize. Ed's record-breaking third album, Divide, and the grime stars Gang Signs and Prez have made the 12 strong shortlist for the prestigious prize. Previous winners, the XX and Alt J, have also been given a nod, along with Blossoms and Sampha.
Thanks, Victoria.
Thanks, John.
That's great news today, isn't it? Well done. No, it was very good. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
I'm sceptical because you're being nice.
No, Sceptical didn't get a nomination.
No, that's Sceptre.
Stormzy.
No.
DJ Sceptical. We got the weather?
Yeah, please.
Here it comes now. Here it is.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Breezy with sunshine and blustery showers. Some of them will be heavy and thundery at times. Highs of 20 degrees.
Thank you very much, Victoria, for that. And now here's Toby. Toby?
Toby.
Toby with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Thousands of trade products to buy online and deliver to your door the next day. Selco's got it.
Selco is where the trade go.
Good afternoon, I'm Toby Gillis. It's lunch on day one of the third test between England and South Africa at the Oval. England are batting, it's 62-1 at the break. The Tottenham legend Les Ferdinand has told TalkSport Harry Kane will stay at the club for at least two more years. While the striker waits to win a trophy at the club, he continues to be linked with moves away. But Ferdinand says Kane won't be lured anytime soon.
He's definitely Spurs through and through. I don't see him going anywhere. I think he'll be at Tottenham for another couple of years at least. Yeah, of course he wants to win things. You know, every player wants to win things in their career. He's at a place where he believes he can do that. They believe they've got the right manager in place.
And the former Liverpool midfielder Danny Murphy has told TalkSport it'd be good business for the club to sell Felipe Coutinho if they can get £80 million for him. Barcelona are said to be interested. Murphy says if Neymar's worth £150 million, then Liverpool's demand for a world record fee of well over £100 million isn't fair. Coutinho can't be put in the same bracket, and £80 million would be a good deal for Liverpool. That's your latest sports news, powered by Talk Sport.
Thanks very much, Toby. Toby will be with us later for a brand new feature that we are bringing you throughout the summer, let me tell you. Toby Gillies, Silly Gillies, Silly Season. As he rounds up the Silly Season stories, well, that, of course, is the time of the year that is upon us, press-wise. So that's coming today as well. I mean, it's like all of our features. It won't work or be very good, but we're going to press ahead with it anyway. Speaking of which, let's get on with the programme.
Talk Radio.
What do I get?
Thinking about what to get this lunchtime? Go on, live bolder with McDonald's Big Flavour Wraps. Enjoy the sweet chilli chicken one with cucumber, cool mayo, crisp lettuce, succulent chicken and a sweet chilli sauce in a soft toasted tortilla wrap. Today's $1.99 wrap of the day. Sweet. From 10:30 a.m, participating restaurants only, rest of range available at regular price.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Previously on the John Holmes Show.
So good afternoon, you're listening to Talk Radio. My name is Estefan's Statue of Gloria. Find out what happened when my great auntie Sylvie are washed in chlorine to save the human race. To bring you the midweek quiz, sperm accountant Donald Trump. bottom. And next we're going to be talking to a foreign correspondent, Annabelle Creation.
I hope Guy Garvey is okay.
What is your favourite piece of artwork? Let's smoothie that the human race is in danger. Mats full of dogs.
Oh, I can't get my head around this.
Microbial life.
The Red Balloon Girl.
Garfield hates Monday.
Haunted dolls aren't real. Pooing himself on a bit.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century.
Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a ball.
Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
Talk radio.
When I am about to get on a journey that will twist the very fabric of nature.
Well, good afternoon then, and like that giant spider that today's edition of both the Mail Online and the Daily Star have chosen to focus on in lieu of actual news, we now cling on to the glass door, not of an Australian couple's home, but instead to the notion of a Thursday afternoon that we shall attempt to persist with under the banner of entertainment, with the proviso that it's not like anything else. I want you to think of the next 3 hours. It's like Love Island, but instead of an island full of whatever the sort of people who go on Love Island are, we're here for you as a sanctuary. It's that sort of island in a sea of mediocrity, in an otherwise bland afternoon ocean of radio. Think of us as the island of treasures. But unlike Love Island, I have to say, if you have tuned in this afternoon to this show for sex, then that's not going to happen. That's not happening, I'm afraid. If you want that, you'd be better off listening to LBC, where I have it, by the way, on good authority. Sheila Fogarty and Nick Ferrari are currently coupled up. Under the news about Donald Trump banning transgender people from the military. Sexy scenes over there, I can tell you. By the way, we do have breaking news this afternoon. I must bring you some breaking news there. We are getting reports that Donald Trump has announced a ban on transgender fighting robots now. From now on, just formers will be allowed to battle against the Autobots. Trump saying that after consultation with the voices in his head, that the US government would not accept or allow transgender robots to fight the Autobots in any capacity. He cited tremendous medical costs and disruption. Although current figures, and I have pulled them out here, current figures about this, just to see. Current figures seem to contradict what he's saying, re-costs. To detach or attach a metal penis or not to a 60-foot-high fighting robot is actually relatively cheap, because it only takes someone with a hacksaw or a welding kit, respectively. So, and that's around an hour's work, probably. So it's not what he said isn't accurate about the cost of it. Relatively inexpensive to do that. Anyway, more on that story as we get it throughout the afternoon on Talk Radio. Which is what this is. Hello, afternoons. John Holmes here. Hello. And here's what's on the way to drag you through Thursday. Headline hijack is on the way. That is where you get to make up a news story, of course. You can create the news, be the news, fake the news. Send us a sentence or two or a paragraph of something from the inside of your head. One of them that we get, and we get many, will be handed to Victoria just ahead of 2 o'clock for her to put in the actual news masquerading as truth. She is the owner, operator, and indeed licensee of this mouth.
This mouth.
That's right, that's the mouth. That's the mouth right there. Listen to it again. Listen to this mouth again. Listen.
This mouth.
There it is. Would you like some of that mouth action in the form of news? Then simply send us your newsy story. And that mouth that you just heard there, jawing up and down, could well say the words that are still in your head and you haven't written down yet. Write them down. Send them to us, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Then Victoria could well be saying what you send. So for those not listening or not concentrating to this bit of the programme, it's Headline Hijack. Diversity paper review as well, of course, in this hour. Where a different diversity each day goes through the papers today. Talal is with us, and he's Arab Syrian, so, yeah. That's a diversity right there. We also bring you Current Affairs versus Japanese Poetry. Regular listeners know that the easy way to get straight to the heart of the news matter isn't necessarily with hours of analytical discussion, no. It's easier to just tackle it with Japanese poetry. It's the news in haikus, that's on the way. There's the big debate at three. All your reactions this afternoon, we will take them from you. You can, of course, react to Talk Radio using 87222.
Start your message with the word
Talk. Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Or you can pop down to your local supermarket. We have a number of medieval siege weapons touring the country, painted in the Talk Radio logo and colours. Today we have a reaction ballista. That's a medieval siege engine based on the design of a crossbow. Pop your reactions into the firing mechanism of the medieval reaction ballista. Aim it towards Talk Radio. You'll see them in the car parks.
Where's the ballista today?
Ballista today is in the car park next to the bottle bank outside Lidl in Berwick-upon-Tweed.
Ah.
The Talk Radio ballista. Pop your reaction in. Launch it to London. We'll send Cornelius up to the roof to collect them. Professor Stephen Hawking might be joining us later as well. He might be telling us a joke. Friend of the show, Professor Stephen Hawking. Work experience punditry today comes from our work experience Rory, who will be bringing us a roundup of geeky, gadgety crap. It's the tech review on a Thursday, as our work experience is lied to and told that being on the radio talking about things is the way into the industry. It isn't. The only reason we get them to do it is because they're free. And I mentioned it earlier, a brand new summer feature with pre-recorded Sports Supply newsreader Toby Gillies. It's a roundup of silly season stories with Toby Gillies. Silly Gillies, silly Gillies, silly season. Plus, as it's Thursday, this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster. Today, somebody out of off of Love Island's having a go.
Yeah!
Love Island, I don't know who it is, but they're on having a go, having their knowledge tested as to the life and works of Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross. That's around 3:45. Ginger Dave not producing today. Our broadcast continues to not be through the glass, rendering the window far happier than it's ever been. Marta is doing it. Marta is through the ventana.
Hola.
Hola. That's Spanish for window, isn't it? Marta.
Hola.
Through the ventana. No. Nope.
Yes.
Chloe's on the buns. Hi, Chloe.
Hi
there. Victoria's got the news.
Yes, John.
Cornelius is there.
Good afternoon.
There he is. I'm John Holmes. Welcome along to Talk Radio in the afternoons on a Thursday warm. Now, we need to get to today's big story, of course. To do that, some music. The clues are in the music, in the title, in the song, in the artist who performs. You figure it out. So play along at home, of course. See if you can jot down the clues and play the cryptic music film. No? Cryptic music news quiz music.
Play the song.
Okay, fine. What's it? What's this? words, bitch.
Nice.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, very clever, aren't you?
You don't need to take that word. Like,
well, you're
on.
So edgy, aren't you?
Don't need to take
aren't
that
you
word.
I didn't. Someone else did.
No, I can't. It's not a swear word, though, is it? Anyway. Welcome. What's the big song? I'll tell you, it's Pink, Just Like a Pill. But what's the big story that it pertains to? That's what you're trying to figure out. It's how we get to the big stories. A little bit of music leads us neatly in, but you, a little bit of a game. Play along at home. Try and figure it out. Cornelius plays along in here. What's the story, Cornelius?
Okay, well, the obvious suggestion would be because of the lyrics, you know, about a pill making me better but actually making me worse.
Yeah.
Would be the antibiotic story about whether you should finish a course of antibiotics. But I know what you're like. You're going to play something and then lead me down that dead end and then humiliate me when I get it wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, is it the rise in prisoners being released by mistake?
How so?
So, like the pill,
yeah,
these prisoners were supposed to get better in rehabilitation centres, courtesy of Her Maj.
Yeah.
However, they're being released early before they finish their rehab courses and then making society worse again by reoffending.
No, it's not like that. I thought you were going to go for 50 years to the day since the decriminalisation of homosexuality. Because,
why?
Because, of course, the rainbow logo includes pink, and that's pink. It's not that, though, either, no. It's the antibiotics.
Oh, so it is, then.
Because it's the easy one, that. It's,
yeah, well,
it's
normally
it's got the word
don't
pill.
Do it that easy.
It's
and then
just like a pill, making me better, making me ill. It's about the antibiotics. That a study today says, well, if you've got a course of antibiotics, don't necessarily take them right to the end of the course. Just take them until you feel better. That's what a study says. The reason, of course, is we are becoming more immune to antibiotics, and that is a growing problem. We need to be talking to a guest. We'll be doing it about this next on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
I used to be a labourer. Yeah, I'd be on site by 7 every morning, which meant getting up at the break of dawn instead of staying in bed, cuddling my wife Dawn. But now I drive with Uber, and I start when I want.
Are you ever going to get up?
Or when Dawn wants me to.
Work. Or not, at the touch of a button. Find out more at uber.com/driveuk. Uber, where to?
Welcome to New Sky Sports. Now with new channels dedicated to the sports you love.
Final act then of an unforgettable drama here at Trent Bridge.
The history books rewritten by 12 heroes in Chicago.
Lewis Hamilton wins the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Feel every moment with new channels dedicated to the Premier League, cricket, golf, football, plus our dedicated F1 channel, New Sky Sports. Feel it all.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In July, we've got a 10-litre tub of Leyland Trade True Guard Smooth Masonry Paint for only $19.99 ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. To find more real deals and your nearest branch, go to selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
I fitted another one of those Valent EcoFit boilers today with a V-Smart.
V-Smart?
Yeah, it lets my customer control their boiler from anywhere through an app.
That's smart.
And it can help reduce bills too by making it work even more efficiently.
That's smart too.
It shows energy usage and it'll even connect to a smart home.
That's really smart. Why is it called V-Smart then?
At Valent, we're with you all the way. So our EcoFit Pure range is compatible with V-Smart to give complete control. Search Valent V-Smart for more.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Three lanes remain closed through Hertfordshire on the clockwise side of the M25. That is due to an accident. Two lorries and a van involved between 22 at St Albans and 23 for the A1M. Still severe delays southbound on the M5 through Gloucestershire. An oil spillage being cleaned from the carriageway. It's following a two-lorry accident around Junction 9 at Tewkesbury for the A46. Queues back towards the M50 at Junction 8. And the northbound M6 in Lancashire, a lane closed due to repairs taking place around 35 for Carnforth. That's the latest. I'm Stephen Beach.
Score the biggest deal of the Premier League and save an unbeatable £900 versus Sky over 18 months with Britain's lowest price Sky Sports bundle from TalkTalk. For just £28.45 a month, get award-winning TV, all eight Sky Sports channels and unlimited broadband including line rental. But hurry, the big summer save ends 17th of August. Search TalkTalk TV now. TalkTalk. For everyone. Based on slower broadband speeds than BT and Virgin. Competitor contracts for 12 months. Sky has more channels. Contract and conditions apply.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. It is time to talk about today's big story. So another day then, and the extinction of the human race edges ever closer, if various studies are to be believed. Yesterday we heard and discussed at length, if you pardon the expression, of a shortage of sperm, as it seems that in the last 40 years, men in the West have been giving another meaning to the phrase dry humping. And today, it's antibiotics in the news, antibiotics that have long protected us since Alexander Fleming forgot to wash up a Petri dish and thought eating the resulting mould was a good thing. He was right, of course, and penicillin saved countless lives over the centuries. But for a while, we've all been building up a resistance to antibiotics, and this leaves us open to all manner of previously quashable diseases. And now this new study that's in the papers today has said that telling patients to finish their course of prescribed antibiotics might not be the best advice, arguing that reducing the use of them, perhaps by stopping your course once you feel better, is essential to help combat the problem of antibiotic resistance. Well, is it true? Professor Colin Garner should know. He's the Chief Executive of Antibiotic Research UK, and he's on the phone. Good afternoon, Colin.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. First question, I suppose. Should we stop or carry on?
I think we should listen to what our doctors tell us in terms of whether we should stop or carry on. They're the experts, and I think we should rely on their expertise to advise us as patients what we should be doing. And we certainly shouldn't be making our own decisions without consultation.
And that's partly the problem when these kind of studies grab the headlines, isn't it? Which is why, it pays, and we should be talking about it, because if you just read that headline and you're taking antibiotics, everyone's individual, all their needs are different, of course, as you rightly say, and your individual doctor knows best, not the headlines.
Exactly, and I think the paper, which is very well-meaning, and I'm sure will stimulate a lot of research, because I think research is needed in this area, but it will cause some, I think, confusion amongst patients as to what they should be doing. So I think the advice generally I would give, and I think our charity would recommend, is that the doctors are the experts here. They know the patient and they know the infection, and therefore they will should decide what should be done. Should remember that these antibiotics which have been developed, the dose and the duration of treatment has been determined through clinical trials and clinical experience. So if we want to change that, we need to do more clinical trials to establish whether changing is a good or a bad thing.
Could you outline, for those that sort of haven't read the details, outline the study for us briefly, if you would. So in terms of how they got to this conclusion and indeed why the study was begun.
So I think there's a general agreement that we need to drive down the use of antibiotics because that is driving up resistance, and everybody is on the same page with that. What these authors have done is to look at the literature and identify some studies where patients had reduced lengths of antibiotic treatment compared with patients who had normal lengths of antibiotic treatment. And in most cases, there didn't seem to be much difference between the two. So The argument is that shorter durations, if they work effectively, then that's what we should be following. And I think in principle that is absolutely right. But until we've got sound scientific evidence to support that, I think we need to just carry on as we have been doing in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we've all, you know, been prescribed antibiotics at some point. I mean, I recently was ill with something, I still don't know what it was. But I went to the doctor and I was given penicillin and it didn't do anything. So I went back and it, you know, it made it slightly worse, I would say. But I was given some other antibiotics, much stronger ones. But it was that case of going, okay. And what is interesting to me at the time, the penicillin was sort of, I think, maybe a 10-day course, I think, of the penicillin. But once I went back to the doctors after a few days, I was told to drop those and go on to these other ones. But they were only, that was just a 5-day course. So they're all different, aren't they? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, they are all different, and bugs respond to them differently. Interestingly, our charity, which is very concerned with this area of research, has been doing some work where we are looking at two antibiotics given together rather than single antibiotics.
Oh, okay.
Because take your case, I mean, it's estimated about 20% of people given the first antibiotic when they go to the doctors, that antibiotic won't work, and therefore they've got to be given a stronger antibiotic, as you've just said. And the reason that the first antibiotic didn't work is that there's already some resistant bugs in you which are not responding to penicillin, so you've got to be given something stronger. So our argument is that maybe if you gave two antibiotics at the same time, right at the beginning, then that would increase the chance of effective cure.
And quicker, presumably, as well.
And quicker, and possibly reduce resistance as well, because you are less likely to get resistance to two antibiotics than you are going to get resistance to one.
So is it, just on the resistance thing, which is the sort of crux of the matter, I suppose, here, we hear about it a lot, but just in layman's terms, this is where, over a period of time, the body will fight anything that comes into it, right? So it starts fighting the antibiotics themselves that are trying to do good, and builds up that immunity to the medicine. Is that right?
Sorry to interrupt, but actually, no, that is not the case.
Okay.
It's the bugs that become resistant to the antibiotic, not you becoming resistant to the antibiotic. What happens is you are exposed to the antibiotics, and you might have some bugs in you that are resistant to those antibiotics. In other words, the antibiotics won't work on those bugs, and then those bugs can continue to grow and divide, and that's what an infection is. So when we talk about antibiotic resistance, it is the bugs, the superbugs, that are resistant, and not the people.
I see. So, in terms of how the body deals with it, then
it doesn't matter how the body deals with the drug. It's how the bugs deal with the drug.
I see.
That's the important thing. And of course, one of the things we don't know is when somebody goes into the doctors with a cough or cold, we don't know if it's a virus or a bacteria generally. So if it's a virus, you shouldn't be given antibiotics anyway. And then if it was a bacteria, at the moment, we don't know what bacteria it is that you've got, and therefore we don't know what best antibiotic to give you. So what doctors do is they just try what's available to them and see what works.
I see.
So it's a very empirical.
And final question, if you are stopping the course, what do you do with the remainder of them? I mean, is there a use-by date on them? Can you use them if you get the same illness again?
No, you should never self-prescribe antibiotics. I mean, one of the problems in the world is that some countries you can go and buy antibiotics over the counter. There's some evidence even in the UK that you can buy them over the internet. You should never ever do that. Allow your doctor to prescribe antibiotics. Don't self-medicate. It's just not good.
There you go. Come back right back round to the listen to what the doctor tells you. Professor Colin Garner, thank you. Chief Executive of Antibiotic Research UK, talking about that study today that says taking the full course of antibiotics might not be the best thing, but the advice There it is. Don't necessarily read the headlines. Listen to your doctor, because they're going to know best. Right, 1:30. Now, in the next bit of the programme, we will be bringing you the Diversity Paper Review. Of course, today, Talal is with us, and he's Arab-Syrian. So that's diversity in action right there. He'll be going through the papers. Plus, today's headline hijack, but Victoria's here, and she's got the latest news on Talk Radio in the afternoon.
Talk Radio.
There's a record high in the number of prisoners being released by mistake as violence in jails has reached a new peak. In the year till March, more than one inmate a week was let out due to a blunder, while there's around 72 attacks inside prisons every single day. Frances Crook is from the Howard League for Penal Reform.
I want to see something done about the overuse of prison. I want something done about prison conditions. And I want something done about the community sentences too, which are in just as much trouble as the prisons. So it's a big job. I'm looking for firm action because we need to make the public safe and we need to spend public money properly.
The Justice Secretary insists improving safety and security in jails is his top priority. The government has ordered a major review into how the ending of EU freedom of movement might affect the economy, but it's been criticised because it will report back late next year, just months before the UK is due to leave the union. It's been instilled in us to finish the course of antibiotics when we're ill, but now some doctors are saying the opposite may be true. Experts writing in the British Medical Journal say the advice could be making people more resistant to the drugs. Madonna and her twin daughters have accepted undisclosed damages from Associated Newspapers over an article published about their adoption. It was posted in January and revealed the girls' names, race, age, and the fact they lived in an orphanage in Malawi. The singer took the case to the High Court, arguing it was a serious invasion of privacy and that they would not have had any protection. And an early morning train service from West Sussex to London is the most overcrowded in England and Wales. Southern, 7:16 a.m. from East Grinstead to London Bridge, typically has more than 1,300 people rammed on board. That's double the amount the carriages are meant to hold. The weather, a breezy day with some sunshine and blustery showers. These will be heavy and thundery at times. Highs are 20 degrees. It's more in half an hour.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thanks, John.
We should do an OB from that busy train.
I agree.
I mean, I don't think there'll be much room.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you'd be even more
be
annoying
funny.
Than normal.
Oh.
How did I know that when you began that story that the next word out of your mouth would be southern?
Yeah.
You go, yep, the worst in the country is it's southern. Yes, of course. Thank you, Victoria, very much. Victoria will be here with bonus news today. Bulletins that she delivers are shorter than they used to be, so she has to make the time up, and she does that at 3:30 each day. And today, we bring you all of the new. It covers everything: animals, vegetables, and minerals, and sometimes fungus. But today,
animal news.
Have you,
No.
Okay, so she hasn't started it yet, but if you'd like to get in touch and send animal-based stories at Victoria, then you can do so. You can send them at Talk Radio, we'll pass them on.
Or,
here we go.
Directly to me, Victoria_Bourne. And if you're wondering how that's spelled, my surname is spelled B-O-U-R-N-E.
An underscore is U-N-D-E-R.
No, it's not, it's literally just the symbol. One key.
It's one key.
No, you press the one key.
Sorry, Victoria
so
one born.
One.
Victoria one born.
Yes.
Oh, shut up.
All right. Thanks, Victoria.
Yeah.
Headline hijack on the way next.
The mother of all talk shows with George Galloway.
He's back
on Talk Radio. Listen up, comrades of the world. Unite. Our glorious leader, George Galloway, returns to the UK airwaves with the mother of all talk shows.
The switchboard is lighting up.
Controversial conversation and cutting-edge current affairs comment with the notorious B-I-G-G. Listen, this guy's a nightmare. He's not a great guy, folks.
The mother of all talk shows with George Galloway. Tomorrow night from 7 on Talk Radio.
I did not say that.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. Welcome. If you're just joining us, here's what's about to happen. You get to make up the news. News stories in your head. Write them down. Get them to us. Headline hijack is at 2. It means your lie could well be broadcast as fact in the actual news to the nation out of Victoria's mouth. The lines are open. 87222.
Start your message.
Now Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message anywhere you like.
Where do you like?
We'll be right back.
So a lot coming in, a lot to get through, but the lines remain open for another 25 minutes, so you've still got time. But so far, here's Cornelius with one. Here's Cornelius with one now.
Yes, this is from Gary, who says that the villa that the popular reality series Love Island has been was filmed in has been deemed unsafe, an unsafe work spot.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah.
The villa that the popular reality series Love Island was filmed in has been deemed an unsafe workspace environment, leading to it to be abandoned, typos, after the first ever case of airborne chlamydia has been discovered. Tests have shown that prolonged exposure to that air could lead to contracting the infection. It's not known how this has managed to happen, but assumptions are being presumed to be correct. And the groundwater around the Love Island is contaminated.
Yeah, don't jump in that pool.
With it.
I think Kevin Amber said in the papers they did it in the pool underneath an inflatable turtle.
Great. What else have you got there? Have you got one that's slightly more readable than that?
Yes, this one's from Sean, who says, for the first time ever, a photo album has been nominated in the Mercury Prize, joining the likes of Alt-J, Ed Sheeran and Stormzy. The latest album by photographer Mitchell Togger has been nominated, as the photos are said to be so good that they can sing in your mind, said the judges.
And UNESCO has officially applied for planning permission to extend Stonehenge. They're going to. It's not bad. I mean, they're not putting like a conservatory on it or anything. But they're going to extend Stonehenge by 8 more mysterious stones due to the increased popularity of it this summer, having to turn people away at major events, including summer solstice. The annual stone cleaning parade and the annual charity rock lift. Of course, people go there in their droves for that, don't they, for all of those events. And I think that's a good idea, because Stonehenge, if you've ever seen Stonehenge, it is about the size of the one in Spinal Tap. It's much smaller than you think, Stonehenge, don't you think? You've been past it on a bus.
Several times. Mm. I think it's the most underwhelming thing.
Yeah.
It's clear that someone just built it once and then left it for about a year or so and just went, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
And then they go, how mysterious. Come and look at it, but pay tenner first.
So you think someone built it, what, about 20 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, cranes and stuff. And then,
yeah.
But basically, in that area of England,
yeah,
there's absolutely sod all going on. Like, zero.
True.
Zero reasons to visit that area.
Yeah, Wiltshire's got not much. Yeah, that's fair.
So what they did is they built this mysterious sort of stone.
Who, when you say they built, the tourist board, was it?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, council or something.
Someone's reliable. Yeah. Or just an enthusiastic local.
Yeah.
And then he's gone round. I reckon it's a sort of a local agreement.
Yeah.
Sort of just pretend that they've always been here.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, basically I don't believe it.
Right. You don't believe in Stonehenge as a...
Well, no, I just think... Like,
I mean, the there are...
You may as well just have built Thorpe Park there. Like,
well, it's an ancient...
It's cheaper.
It's an ancient Thorpe Park in many ways.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, in the future, archaeologists of the future will look back
at
Thorpe Park and go, what is this mysterious edifice to the human race? And cynics like you will come along and go, Thorpe Park was just like last week.
It's just a theme park.
Yeah, they've deliberately put an old-fashioned roller coaster in there from ancient times.
Yeah.
But no, what you don't know is, of course, that the ancient peoples dragged roller coasters from Wales on with ropes to build Thorpe Park. And they do say if you stand at the right area of Thorpe Park on the summer solstice, then you'll get thrown out because it's closed early in that morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's what the ancients...
Can you touch the rides at Thorpe Park? You're not allowed.
One day a year.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's fenced off.
Okay.
So anyway, there we are. So if you've got a made-up news story that you'd like to hear in the news, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Next, Diversity Paper Review. Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching every game? Are you watching every game? Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching every game? Are you
every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is Football from Virgin Media. cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
At Homebase, we're all about summer value for your garden. Like this Qualcast electric hover lawnmower was £69.94, now only £49. Homebase, always low prices.
Don't ignore the... It's the law to have a work... Don't ignore the workplace pension. Get to know your responsibilities with help from the pensions regulator. Visit workplacepensions.gov.uk.
Nissan have some great deals at the moment, like a £1,600 deposit contribution towards an all-new Nissan Micra Diesel, £2,300 towards a Duke, and a whopping £3,000 towards an X-Trail.
£3,000? Wow, I'm off.
Wait, hold on, you're the producer.
It's all right, Ben. When you finish, just hit that button, yeah?
Oh, okay. All offers at 3.99% APR representative. Search Nissan offers now. Nissan. Innovation that excites. Nissan Finance. Excludes all Vizia and Juke centigrades. Subject to status, over 18s and UK residents only. Participating dealers. Ends 1st of October. T's and C's at nissan.co.uk. So, this button. Oh, no. Must be this one.
Talk Radio. Traffic and travel.
Problems southbound on the M1 through South Yorkshire, lane down due to a vehicle fire between 38 at Darton and 37 for Barnsley in the A628. Northbound side of the M1 through Bedfordshire, a lane closed due to a vehicle which has broken down between 11 at Dunstable and 12 at Flitwick. And finally, the southbound side of the M5 through Gloucestershire, long delays, two lanes are closed due to an earlier accident, oil spillage being cleared from the carriageway around junction 10 at Cheltenham, queues back towards the M50. That's the latest. I'm Stephen Beach.
Score the biggest deal of the Premier League and save an unbeatable £900 versus Sky over 18 months with Britain's lowest price Sky Sports bundle from TalkTalk. For just £28.45 a month, get award-winning TV, all eight Sky Sports channels and unlimited broadband including line rental. But hurry, the big summer save ends 17th of August. Search TalkTalk TV now. TalkTalk. For everyone. Based on slower broadband speeds than BT and Virgin. Competitor contracts for 12 months. Sky has more channels. Contract and conditions apply.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on Talk Radio.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. If you're just joining us, it is Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes. The time is just on the clock on the wall there. So, there's a lot in the news. Sorry, I just saw something on the television that made me laugh. As I looked up to the clock there...
Never mind.
There was a man... Can I?
No.
Really? I mean, that's quite... We'll I mean, it's on, BBC, it's on the BBC. It's quite...
No, yeah, we'll just...
It's quite funny.
It is, but...
Anyway, it's 50 years to the day of the decriminalisation of homosexual acts, of course. That's in the news today. There was rail overcrowding. The worst rail overcrowding in the country is on a southern route. You've just been hearing about that in the news with Victoria. Antibiotics. There might be new rules. Should we take the course fully? Should we not? We were talking there to Professor Colin from the Antibiotics UK charity. He was saying, always listen to your doctor. Don't necessarily follow the headlines, which is good advice. There's a lot going on in the news, isn't there?
Yes.
It's quite complicated, but isn't it?
Yeah, I can't get my head around it.
Don't worry, Cor. I'm still laughing at that thing. Don't worry, Cornelius, because we can help. Because what we do is we take the news and analyse it using short-form oriental verse. That's right. Japanese poetry. 5-7-5. That's the syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Lloyd sets aside more money for PPI, great. More cold calls at night.
The news! In haikus. And so to the newspapers and beyond, the social media, the news, the trending, all of those things, of course, reviewed and analysed by us now in the next bit of the programme. Today, we welcome to the Diversity Paper Review, for that is what it is. It's the most diverse feature on the most diverse programme in British broadcasting, because we invite a different diversity each day. Out of the box that they tick, into the studio, front and centre in front of the microphone. Talal, welcome back.
Hi.
Remind us of your diversity.
I'm of an Arabian persuasion.
Excellent. And what newspaper have you started with today?
A Guardian.
Oh, yeah. What have we got?
Trump goes to trans bars. No, Trump bans trans people right. from yeah. US military.
Right, good.
So this is on a relevant day to do it on, I guess, but... Donald Trump, this is from The Guardian, Donald Trump drew widespread condemnation yesterday when he said he would not allow transgender people to serve in the US military, reversing a policy put in place by Barack Obama a year ago.
That's right.
So he doesn't want, and he tweeted it, and it was in three tweets. It was quite long drawn, but after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the US military. Mm. And his reasoning is, our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail.
We had Caroline Page on yesterday. She's the first transgender officer to serve in the UK Armed Forces when this news broke. In fact, I think we broke the news to her, which was interesting. Because we were on air as this came through yesterday. So, and she was very good on it. We were sort of saying, well, you know, this expense idea that he's talking about is not true at all. And so we knew it was going to, you know, obviously this is a big issue. And certainly for The Guardian, who kind of loved this catnip to The Guardian, this kind of story.
But I believe there's like 15,000 trans members of the American army at the moment?
Yes. Not all of them are out, though. Caroline was very clear to talk about that yesterday. Okay. So not all of them are out, but there are trans people in the army who are hiding their identities as well, she was saying, which is interesting. So it's whether or not, do they all get fired? Do they all, you know, how does it, you know, what's the process here?
That's an interesting question. And how will they find out who's who as well?
Yeah, if they're not out. I mean,
that's what Caroline was saying. It would lead to more people just staying in the closet.
Yeah, which is not a good thing.
Uh-huh, and having, like... awkward questions. And also during his campaign, he promised to support the LGBTQ community.
Yes,
and
he
said, unlike Hillary, who will only do this and that, I'll be here to support you. Whereas now he's obviously realised who his support base
is. There's the other story that it could be, whenever Trump gets into a bit of hot water with something else, e.g. Russia, he does something that takes the headlines away from that. It's sort of distraction.
He's like a magician.
Yes, in a sort of no way at all. A poor quality magician.
He's like a magician, but you wouldn't want him at a party.
No. Anyway, also we learned, we were talking about this earlier, Talal, before you were in, but he's also not allowing transgender fighting robots. So only formers now. You can't...
Oh.
Yeah, That's another thing he said.
That's really...
You look slightly unwell, Talal. Is that fair to say today? I don't know. Well,
I am struggling to keep up. I'm very severely hungover, actually, today. Oh, and I'm very grateful to be here, and thanks for having me here. Yeah. But it was... I kind of wish I was still in bed.
What was the occasion?
Is this news? I was playing board games last night with my friends. It was a games night.
Oh.
And but there was a crate of beer and a bottle of whiskey involved. And... Those games got messy.
What board games were you playing?
Okay, we played Avalon. You ever heard of Avalon?
No.
You ever heard of Spyfall?
No.
Okay, that's great. It's a good one. Have you heard of, what's it called? It's called like Wibble or Wibble.
Wibble?
Yeah, have you heard of Wibble?
No.
And we played Boggle.
I've heard of Boggle.
Okay. Oh, you would have loved that one.
Well, I don't like board games.
Some of them were like role-playing games.
Right. Having kids now, like as I do, so they're at the age where they love board games now because they've got hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. So every weekend I sit down and do play board games with them, but I just get bored, hence the name. Last week, Mousetrap, though. So that, you know, that's
I don't encourage board games amongst children because they can get quite aggro, if you ask me.
Well, I don't encourage that. They don't drink that much like you.
Right, yeah.
I limit them to three beers each.
Okay, that's all right.
A 7-year old should not have more than three beers.
Because when someone calls you a spy and you're not the spy, and then everyone's accusing you of being a spy for about half an hour straight, and you're definitely not a spy,
right,
it can get pretty frustrating, and then things can get thrown sometimes.
Right. Just a little insight into your life there. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
Back to the papers. Yeah.
Movies.
Yeah. Go on.
Okay, Daily Star.
Yeah.
Movies give us a buzz for life.
Okay.
This is a story about the most inspirational film quotes for children. And here it is. A lion man. Okay, I just realized I have to read words. Okay. A line from Disney's Beauty and the Beast has topped a poll of the most inspiring children's movie quotes.
Okay.
In the fairy tale, heroine Belle says, "It's not until you lose everything that you truly appreciate everything." Second place went to Merlin's quote from Sword in the Stone. "It's up to you how far you'll go. If you don't try, you'll never know." And so they made a list of these movies that have inspirational quotes. And the reason was because there's an organization called Charity Into Film, and they're trying to make a list of must-see movies before you grow up. And so they inquired, they did this survey.
You see, I was growing up watching films, I can't now cast my mind back to think of any advice I necessarily took from... took from any film when I was... Oh, apart from always send your tall friend Fat Kev to get the cinema tickets for you because you're underage and you can't see Porky's. So that's the only advice I took from that. But I don't... Pete's Dragon was when I was a kid. That was a film, animated dragon.
That sounds terrible.
They've done a new one of that.
They have done a new one of that.
You know what? What about it?
But I don't remember any inspirational quotes from films when I was a kid. That's all.
Last night I was very inspired by a movie by Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Right, yeah. All right. What else is in that?
Do you want to talk to aliens or do you want to talk about Kim Kardashian?
I want to talk about, while you're in the Daily Star there, I want to talk about the giant spider that's terrorising...
Big spider.
..terrorising a family.
Now, this story I was really amazed by until the middle bit.
Yeah.
When I was like, well, obviously.
Go on.
So it goes, okay, big spider, giant spider, bigger than dinner plate, terrifies a couple.
Yeah.
All right. Monster spider, bigger than a dinner plate, trapped a couple inside their home. Every time they tried to walk out the door, it was lunging at them.
Yeah.
And the spiders, what's it called? It's called a huntsman spider.
And they're bad.
They're very bad. I shared a room with one in Australia, actually.
What the hell?
And I nearly pooped myself.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. They make a noise like this.
Oh, God, that's like an alien or something.
Yeah, it's
or
mental.
Predator.
And there was one in my room. I heard the noise. So I, like, flipped everything upside down. I was living in a shed in a jungle in Australia. My life's amazing. Anyway.
One day he's playing Boggle, the next he's flipping a spider upside down. I want to be you.
So this couple was trapped in their home, yeah? And I was like, wow, my God, I can't believe this is happening. And then in the middle, it was like in... Mount Kolum in Queensland. And then I was like, well, obviously, it's in Australia.
Yeah.
This is where this stuff happens.
It made you think it was just, I don't know, in Brighton or somewhere, didn't it? Just going, oh my God, look at this monster spider. It's eating people in Australia. That's where it is.
They're trying to scare you into buying the paper so that you can save your family.
I want to know more about what you did in Australia in a shed in the jungle.
I was working in a hotel in an island called Great Keppel Island. And the reason I got a job there is because they thought I was a Korean girl. because of my name, and then I showed up and they were like, "You're a bloke and you're not Korean and you speak English. Okay, I guess we'll have to give you a proper job." So I ended up having a good job there, but I was living in a shed in a jungle. I had possums in my walls. There was a huntsman in my room at one point.
See, I have a problem with Australia for this very reason.
I like that stuff.
All the poisonous stuff lives in Australia, doesn't it? That's the thing. But a huntsman spider, I mean, the size of it, even from that photograph, I do have an issue. I know they're not harmful particularly.
They can't kill a human.
No, but they'll bite you.
Yeah,
my friend, Pete lives in the outback in Australia. Keeps inviting me to go and stay, and then sends me photographs of these things in his house. They look like face huggers from Alien. And he sends one of them, he sent me wrapped round a lampshade in his lounge. And he goes, I'm not coming.
Imagine
there.
The shadow cast from that.
No way. did you get rid of the huntsman under the...
No, I never found it. So I had a nightmare that night that it bit me and I was cocooned and I was trapped in bed and I thought that was really happening. But another time I cut my foot on some broken barnacles and I had to canoe across 2 kilometres of shark infested waters, leaving a trail of blood behind me. That was pretty terrifying. Not canoe, kayak, even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was scary. And I wrapped my foot in pages from a Discworld novel and put a plastic bag on it, hoping that would help.
But well, it clearly it did.
it did, yeah. I guess. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Aliens or Kim Kardashian, John?
They're one and the same for me, but go on. Aliens.
Okay. Do you want to talk to aliens?
Yes.
Might be a moment in the sun. I don't know what that quite means. Humans could one day speak to aliens over interstellar space by using giant signals generated by suns. Not... just as rails... Oh, man. Sorry, I almost did something bad there.
What, vomiting?
Yeah. Just as rail systems use flashing lights as signals, we could one day alter the light shining from... So basically, when the Earth is in front of the sun,
yeah,
we can do a thing which is like waving your hand in front of a light. You know when you communicate over long distance, you wave your hand over a light.
Or hold a huntsman spider in front of a lamp and flick it about, yeah.
So we could do that with the sun.
Yeah.
And talk to aliens like galaxies
away.
But
we'd need a massive bit of cardboard.
Like a big flappy hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those inflatable wavy hand men.
But like planet sized.
Yeah. Just coming out the top of the Earth.
Yeah.
Hello, we're here. But it's probably not going to happen for like 300,000 years.
Great story. Right, Talal, thank you very much indeed for that. Do you need to go and be sick now?
Baby.
Off you go. Talal there, remind us of your diversity.
Thank you. A Syrian Arab man.
I tried to book a Korean girl.
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Thanks very much indeed, Talal, with the diversity paper review. Still to come on the programme, of course, other things. The big debate will be at 3 o'clock. We will be talking about the fires on the French Riviera very shortly as well, as they still rage out of control. Brand new feature as well with Silly Season stuff coming up. Toby Gillis from the Talk Sport news desk will be here with Gillis Silly Season.
We'll also be speaking to Hugh Stevens about the Mercury nominees.
Will we?
I've just received a text.
Excellent news. Hugh Stevens talking to us about Mercury nominees is going to be happening. And someone from Love Island.
We got them all.
Yeah, we'll be joining us to play this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster, all on the way before 4 o'clock. Now, headline hijack. Somebody's got their made-up news in the forthcoming bulletin, confusing those who aren't listening to this bit. Cornelius, who is it?
It's Michelle.
Michelle, where's Michelle from?
Fife.
Fifey Michelle is there, victorious as she is with today's headline hijack. News is coming next. I'm John Holmes, Talk Radio in the Afternoons.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. The James Whale Show. Weeknights from 7 on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. More than just plumbers.
It's the radio show. Let's not afraid to plumb the deepest depths.
And come up smelling of roses. Driving you up the wall and around a U-bend. With outspoken opinions and a bucket full of breaking news. The James Whale Show, weeknights from 7 on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. More than just plumbers.
I asked myself a lot of questions before I went into teaching. Financially, will it work out for me and my family?
But then I think people should be put off because of the cost of training.
The bursary was so important for me.
I didn't have to worry about the financial side of things.
It covered things like childcare for me. It was definitely the right choice.
I chose to teach.
As a trainee teacher, you could get a tax-free bursary of £25,000. Apply now to train in September. Search Apply to Teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Clive, Winston Wolf. Whale music? You must be one stressed-out private landlord.
Yes, I am!
Your tenants are struggling financially and can't pay their rent. But you're with Direct Line. They'll repay any unpaid rent until your tenants are out. So drop the stress ball. It'll all be over soon. Ah, that's better.
Claim back unpaid rent after 1 month's arrears with rent guarantee. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line Landlord. Cover purchased as part of legal expenses add-on. Qualifying criteria apply. Restricted claims for existing tenants in the first 90 days when product first purchased.
Score the biggest deal of the Premier League and save an unbeatable £900 versus Sky over 18 months with Britain's lowest price Sky Sports bundle from TalkTalk. For just £28.45 a month, get award-winning TV, all 8 Sky Sports channels and unlimited broadband including line rental. But hurry, the big summer save ends 17th of August. Search TalkTalk TV now. TalkTalk. For everyone. Based on slower broadband speeds than BT and Virgin, competitor contracts for 12 months, Sky has more channels, contract and conditions apply.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
At 2 o'clock precisely. Good afternoon, I'm John Holmes. Victoria's got the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, record high in prison blunders. Antibiotic advice is challenged and Stormzy's over the moon at Mercury Nod.
Talk Radio.
The number of prisoners released by mistake in England and Wales last year is higher than at any time since current records began. In the 12 months to March, blunders led to 71 inmates being let out. Violence in jails has also reached a record high. Sky correspondent Siobhan Robbins says there's been a high-profile case recently when violent offender Rolston Dodd was freed early.
He was sentenced to 9 years in prison, but he was released after 9 months because of an error on the court documents. Now, that release led to his victim being extremely distressed because he saw him in the street, but also it led to another manhunt.
The parents of baby Charlie Gard are due to learn this afternoon how their terminally ill son will die. Chris Gard and Connie Yates were given until midday to agree with doctors when life support should be withdrawn once the 11-month-old is moved to a hospice. Medical experts have questioned the guidance of always completing a course of antibiotics. They say you should stop when you feel better instead because it could be driving drug resistance. But the chief executive of Antibiotic Research UK, Professor Colin Garner, has told John more research is needed.
The argument is that shorter durations, if they work effectively, then that's what we should be following. I think in principle that is absolutely right. But until we've got sound scientific evidence to support that, I think we need to just carry on as we have been doing in the past.
Hundreds of firefighters are still battling blazes in southern France, which forced around 12,000 people to evacuate homes and campsites. Many had to take refuge on beaches and in shelters as the fires burned in the Var region. And the nominees for the Mercury Prize 2017 have reacted with joy at being named on the prestigious award shortlist. Stormzy says he's over the moon, while Blossoms say it's incredible.
That's...
Are you struggling to get your words out, John?
Well,
no, he's struggling to form an opinion on that news story.
I am, in a way. But I just think if you're over the moon and incredible, they haven't really gushed, is what I was thinking. They've just sort of gone, this is incredible. You know, you'd think you'd get a bit more than one word out of them for that.
I mean, there was more than one word.
Oh.
But I've only got limited space in my bulletins, as you well know, so I can't write the whole thing and include the full video that Blossom tweeted out.
Then that's the word you picked.
Well, incredible.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, but I was, you know. I thought, you know, they just sound a bit ungrateful, don't they?
No, I think they're very grateful.
You know.
And I think you're reading into it in the wrong way.
Well, I didn't read it. You did. So, Victoria there, and as she just mentioned, her bulletins are very small. And to give them a bit of heft, what we like to do is at 3:30 bring you bonus news, don't we, Victoria?
Yes.
She gets paid the same, whatever, however the length.
That's the right decision.
So, today, animal news. Any new...
No.
Okay, that hasn't happened yet. Right, fine, but we'll find out as the afternoon wears on what's happening in the world of animals, and if you're interested in it, here's where you'll hear it. 3:30, tune in for Talk Radio's weekday afternoon bonus news. Animal news today.
Animal news.
And now Victoria's here with the weather.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Yep, still here. So a breezy day with some sunshine and blustery showers. These will be heavy and thundery at times and highs of 20 degrees.
Incredible. And now here's Toby Gillis with the pre-recorded sport.
Thanks.
Talk Radio Sports Update
with Selco Builders Warehouse. Hundreds of trade brands in stock. Selco's got it. Selco is where
the trade goes. Good afternoon, I'm Toby Gillis. England continue to bat on day one of the third Investec test against South Africa at the Oval. A short time ago, they'd reached 90 for two in their first innings. Former Liverpool midfielder Danny Murphy says the club will be doing good business if they sold Brazilian star Felipe Coutinho, and they don't need a world record fee to do it. Barcelona are understood to be keen with a fee of £80 million in their mind, but the Reds are believed to be holding out for well over £100 million. But Murphy says that's bonkers money.
If Barca are prepared to pay over 80 for Coutinho, I think that's good business. 14 goals is his best return. So if you can't get someone for 50 million, attacking player who can get you four, I mean, when you think about it, if they're thinking he's worth 100 million Liverpool, what's Dele Alli worth? Because he's better than Coutinho.
It's the same old story for Andy Carroll at West Ham. The striker's described as ahead of schedule in his recovery from surgery over the summer, but boss Slaven Bilic says he'll miss the first day of the new season. There'll be no Mikel Antonio for that match either, which is against Manchester United at Old Trafford. That's your latest sports news, powered by Talk Sport.
And finally, HMRC's announced it's going to open a tax avoidance amnesty box at its headquarters in London. for anyone to post any money they believe they should have paid in tax, but for some reason didn't. But there's a warning to be wary of people who might be near the building dressed up as an amnesty box in order to steal money from the taxpayer.
Thank you. Victoria there with your news today, and Toby with the pre-recorded sport. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoon.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
To some, it was a miracle. Others called it the triumph of illiteracy. Radio. It revolutionized the way people learned about their world.
Oh my, get out of the way, please.
It changed forever the way people would be entertained.
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
On Talk Radio.
For those about to talk,
we salute you.
Play Misty for me.
Yes, so someone out of off of Love Island joining us later on the programme to play today's edition of Paul Rossmaster. The quiz, of course, that tests celebrity contestants as to their knowledge of the life and work of the Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter, Paul Ross. So that'll be happening. The big debate is at 3 o'clock. Work experience punditry today as well comes from our work experience Rory, who'll be rounding up a week's worth of geeky gadgety stuff. Now, before we talk about today's other big story, well, you'll have been reading this over the past few days, of course. A lot of talk about chickens in the news generally. This is all to do with washing them in chlorine or not. If you want a chicken that's flavoured with the delicious taste of swimming pool, then you would probably subscribe to Liam Fox's view that chlorinated chickens are absolutely fine. But what do you really know about chickens? Today, we're looking for your facts about chickens, please. 87222.
Start your message with a word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with a fact about a chicken.
And here comes some right about now.
Did you know?
Hang on. Now.
Did you know, John, that the ancient Egyptians used to worship the humble chicken as a god? This was, of course, until a pharaoh accidentally fell over, landed face first on a chicken, got a taste of it, and decided that from there on, chickens were to be eaten and not worshipped. Mm. And this was how chicken was invented.
Fact. The chickens can't be hypnotised. They only pretend to make humans happy. That's a fact, that is.
Mm.
Chicken pox is a popular soup flavour in Southeast Asia.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. So if you've got a chicken, chickens normally have a sink and a hob and can be equipped with an oven, a fridge and many other appliances. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's kitchen.
That's
kitchens.
Yeah.
Anyway, get us your facts about chickens. You know the number, you know the social media. 8 minutes past 2 o'clock, Talk Radio on a Thursday afternoon. I'm John Holmes, and as is the case every summer, forest fires in Europe seemingly burn out of control. Of course, Greece, Spain, Portugal, Italy all suffered this year and in recent years, and it's now the turn of France, it seems, where in the south, thousands of people have been evacuated after those wildfires on the Mediterranean coast. Tourists have been moved from campsites and holiday homes in the region. Hundreds are sleeping on local beaches as the fires continue to spread. You probably saw many of the pictures in the papers today and on social media, but a journalist who's seen more than just pictures, because she is there, is Lisa Minow, travel editor of The Sun. She's been sleeping on the beach watching it all unfold. She's on the phone. Hello, Lisa.
Hello there. Hi.
Hi. So you, am I right, you were on holiday? This wasn't an assignment. You were actually on holiday.
No, I'm on holiday, and you're gonna have to apologise, but the planes are still going overhead, so it's going to get quite noisy every now and again.
Okay.
They're still fighting the fires.
So what? Where are we up to?
Well, we're still evacuated from the campsite. We're actually sitting at the moment on a beach bar, just having some dinner, because what else can you do? We're trying to just keep calm and carry on.
Yeah.
But we've had a couple of days of really quite, you know, traumatic things happening. Evacuated from the campsite, not once, but twice. We had to spend two nights on the beach.
Right.
And then yesterday, after a whole night on the beach, they evacuated us just as a precaution. They let us all back on. And then we started to see the flames really lick close to the top of the campsite. The campsite starts on the beach and it goes up a wooded hill. And we could see the flames coming up there. And then we were told, that's it, right, evacuate. This is the proper emergency evacuate. And that was terrifying.
Yes, I'm not surprised. What's the process of evacuation, Lisa? Is it a case of people coming around individually to holidaymakers? Or is it...
Well, what we have done, I mean, it's a big campsite. There's 1,000 pitches. So they've got a couple of vans with sirens on them, and they literally are going around saying, evacuate, evacuate. And that's how they get everybody off the site. But the first night, we actually knew before they evacuated, because I was having dinner with my friends on the beach. They've got a beachfront pitch. At about 1 o'clock in the morning, after a couple of glasses of rosé, we looked up and there was just an orange glow on the horizon.
Yeah.
And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then once we could start to see the flames, then we knew that this was something really serious.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been some wild forest fires here over the last couple of days. So we'd watched from our campsite, the one that was in Ramatuelle, which is just by Saint-Tropez. We'd watched that the night before. And then when it came so close, it was really terrifying. And they still haven't put it out. The fire behind our campsite, they are still fighting that at the moment with these Canadair planes, these planes that beat down into the sea, they scoop up the seawater,
yeah,
and then dump it onto the actual fire.
And you, in terms of how long that process is taking, I mean, does, from your point of view, does it, you know, who's winning, essentially? I mean, is this...
I don't think the firefighters are winning right now. I mean, they've been fighting this for 2 days solid now. The wind has come up again today. They had a bit of a chance yesterday in that the wind dropped in the afternoon. But today we've got the wind back, and that's the worst for the firefighters.
Yeah.
This Mistral wind that you get in the south of France is known for it switches. It's blowing east, then it blows west, and in a matter of seconds. And so they can't control the fire. They can't even anticipate where it's going to go next.
Yeah. That's the holiday makers, I suppose, and the tourists, but what of the locals? I mean, what are they making of it?
Well, I mean, this is a historic eva for them. I've been coming to this campsite every year for 42 years, right, ever since I was a child, and I've never been evacuated from our campsite, ever. This is historic. I think the last time there was actually a forest fire of any significance in this area was in the 1980s.
Right. It seems to be more common, doesn't it? At least we hear about it a lot more now. And, you know, Portugal, as I was saying, Spain, Italy,
yep,
Corsica, Greece, and so forth. And is this a... it's part weather, isn't it? It's part long seasons of long dry spells.
Dry,
but as you rightly say, that then the wind does it and everything else. But is it right? Is there an increase of this kind of stuff, or is it just better reported?
I think there is an increase. The actual incident that's happened here in Bormley Mimosa, where I am, all the local newspapers, all the local guys here, it's being regarded as a criminal offence. They are regarding this as arson.
Right.
There was a fire in Lalonde, which is just along the coast from here, a couple of days ago, which was also publicised. But that was a more traditional thing. It was a family with a barbecue on a campsite. They thought it was out, and it wasn't out, and it set fire. That kind of thing they're expecting. Our campsite, you're not allowed any naked flames on our campsite. If you want to have a barbecue, it has to be a gas barbecue. You can't have a naked flame.
Right.
But there seems to be more and more of these incidents where it's malicious. It is a criminal offence. There was one a couple of years ago. It was a guy who had wanted to be a firefighter and was turned down for being a firefighter, and then decided to get his revenge by setting fire to the surrounding hillside.
Yeah. People don't seem to realise how, you know, because you see signs for this kind of stuff. I travel and you see signs for this all over the world about the dangers of forest fires and so forth. I was in Brazil, Lisa, a few years ago, and I was in a camp by the side of a river, and there was a fire. It was a long way off, but again, like you were talking about, the glow in the sky is sort of hypnotic, isn't it? And we were getting animals, and pretty poisonous ones at that, coming out of the jungle to the river where we were, because it pushes everything ahead of it, doesn't it?
That's right. And funny enough, yesterday, we actually, or 2 days ago now it was, we'd known there was a fire near Saint-Tropez. We were sitting on the beach, and the ash is falling on us because the winds were very strong, and the ash from the fire over there was falling on us. And then we started to see the birds, and they're all coming in our direction.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it was a bit of an omen. You know, they know first when they just need to get out of these places.
So what's making everyone stay there on the beaches, given the level of tourism there? I mean, why aren't people just coming home?
For a start, it's difficult. The roads are closed off. And if you know the south of France and you know the roads here, you don't want to be on a road in a traffic jam if a fire does switch. Yep. And all of a sudden you're caught, there's nowhere to escape, the fire just takes over the road. But there's also the more practical thing, it's peak season in the south of France. There is nowhere else to go, there's nowhere you can actually move to. We weren't sleeping on the beach last night because we wanted to, but because it was that, or going to the local gymnasium.
Yeah.
And I'd rather just sleep on the
sleep
beach.
On the beach, so what about people missing their flights home and so forth? I mean, is there anything in place to help those people out?
Well, there isn't at the moment in terms of locally, but it's the kind of thing where you would have to just rely on your travel insurance. I mean, friends of ours on the campsite, they were meant to be leaving and going off back home. They had a hire car that they've been using for the last week or so, and they weren't allowed to leave the campsite. They just told everyone, just escape by the beach. Yeah. Everybody off the campsite, on the beach. They missed their flight, and they haven't, hire car is still stuck on the campsite. They're not allowed to take it off.
And we're hearing a lot about the beach, of course, which is where you're being forced to spend the night and so forth. How close could the fire get, though, to where you are? I mean, does that dry brush come up to the edge of the beach, or is there a good stop gap? Oh, yeah. Right. So you could.
It does.
So there's danger where you are now.
Yes, which is why yesterday when they said evacuate to the beach, they then told us that we had to then move off the beach of the campsite, which is a heavily wooded campsite, and it goes all the way down to the beach with trees which provide shade, obviously. But now it's a case of, no, you need to be on a big wide beach, which is the Javier's port, and everyone was forced onto there because that's a natural break. You know, the fire cannot get onto the sand and into the water. But the rest of it, I mean, I'm looking from the beach here, I'm looking up into the hills behind, and it's just scorched black earth.
Yeah. Lisa, look, I'll let you get back to it.
Thank you.
Be safe. Lisa Minot there, travel editor of The Sun, who was on holiday on the beach down there in the south of France. And that's, you heard her, that's what she's looking at there right now, just to bring us some eyewitness from the story of these wildfires that are raging on the Mediterranean coast down there. The Prime Minister has visited the area. The firefighters are saying they're winning the fight, but Lisa, who is there, seems to suggest otherwise, looking at it through her eyes. Obviously, that stays in the news. We'll keep you up to date on it. That's what we're here for. It's 17 minutes past 2 o'clock. Next on the programme, other stuff that's on the way. Next, our feature. It's silly season in the papers, isn't it? It's a brand new feature we've dreamt up to help you through your summer. Toby Gillis from the Supply News Desk at Talk Sport. He's going to bring us a roundup of silly season stories. It's Silly Gillis Silly Season. But the twist is, we are going to get the headlines from him, and then between us, we've got to try and figure out what the silly story is. That's the gist of it, and it's coming next on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
I used to be a security guard. Work nights. Instead of being at home with the kids watching TV, I was always at work with Big Barry watching CCTV. But now, I drive with Uber. I don't have to work on social hours if I don't want to. And I can do and watch whatever I want.
Daddy, can I watch Doggy Detective?
Brilliant.
Work or not, at the touch of a button. Find out more at uber.com/driveuk. Uber. Where to?
At Homebase, we're all about summer value for your garden. Like this Qualcast electric hover lawnmower was £69.94, now only £49. Homebase, always low prices.
If you pay for something, you should get to keep it, right? Yet with most mobile networks, you have to say goodbye to any data you haven't used at the end of every month. So say hello to Sky Mobile, the only network to automatically roll over all your unused data every month. And no matter what plan you choose, your data is yours to keep for 3 years. Plans start from £5 a month, and Sky TV customers also get free unlimited calls and texts. Search Sky Mobile and say hello to rolling your data with plans from £5 a month. Sky, believe in better. 12-month minimum term. Free calls and texts to standard UK numbers as a Sky TV customer. Standard price £10. Acceptable use policy and terms apply. Redeem data per 1 GB.
Landlords, Direct Line guarantees to be other insurers' renewal premiums for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? Switch to Direct Line Landlord. New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Talk Radio, Traffic and Travel.
In Gloucestershire on the M5 southbound, there's been an oil spillage between Junction 9 at Tewkesbury and Junction 10 at Cheltenham, so it's backing up to Junction 8 with the M50 there. Travel time is estimated to be 45 minutes. On the M62 in West Yorkshire, there's a lane closed due to a broken down lorry. That's between Junction 32 at Pontefract and the turn-off at Castleford, Junction 31. And in Lancashire, the M6 is slow and there's a lane closed due to emergency repairs. That's Junction 35 northbound at Carnforth and Junction 36 at Kirkby Lonsdale. I'm Al Booth.
A bottle of 70 centilitre Aperol is now just £12 at the Co-op. Perfect in a spritz when the sun's in or out. This summer, another deal for you from the Co-op. Was £15, subject to availability, 18 plus, please drink responsibly. Drinkaware.co.uk, offer ends 5th of September.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon, you're listening to Talk Radio, and you can't have failed to notice that, although there is proper news around, there's the slow, steady creep of the stories that you just know are there to fill space in the summer when the news goes on holiday. You see it in the papers, you see it online. A good example would be the massive spider we talked about that's on the front page of the Daily Star today and on the Mail Online, the leading with a great big spider that's trapping a family in their house. It's in the outback in Australia. It's a huntsman spider. It's kind of normal. Thus, it's not news. But still, it becomes news in the silly season. So here is where our brand new for the summer feature, we round up for you some of the silly season stories, but we don't know what the stories are. We will get the headlines and then together we'll try to figure it out. Brought to us by Toby Gillis from TalkSport. Silly Gillis, silly season.
It's Silly Gillis, silly season. Yeah, yeah.
So then, let's start with story number one, or rather, headline number one.
Seedy behaviour.
Was that seedy?
Seedy behaviour.
Seedy behaviour. All right. So we have to figure this out. All right, okay. So it's silly season, so a giant seed has been spotted, swimming off the coast of Cornwall. A giant seed shark.
No, I think it was seedy as in disc. So I think it's people are buying less CDs than they used to.
Right.
So that's the CD behaviour.
It could be something to do with yesterday's sperm shortage story, yeah. Of course.
That was fairly big news, though.
That was, yeah, so. Not necessarily, it was a bit silly. Mm. But it could be that. It could be people that are now trying to... Ah, I know, maybe because of the I've got it. So, you know, there are sperm banks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some elderly gentlemen, like in Hatton Garden, have tunnelled into a sperm bank to steal the seed within... in order to repopulate the earth at a later date. Seedy behaviour.
Should we find out?
Yeah. Let's find out what the story... I think I'm right.
From Silly Gillies.
Silly Gillies.
One in six Brits have passed off shop-bought plants as homegrown.
I got that wrong then. Sorry, I got that one wrong. I mean, that's... Have you ever done that? I mean, that's... Again, that's not a story, is it? It's not a news story.
But no. I don't understand... Well, what story. So people are saying, oh, you see this bunch of flowers that are beautifully wrapped?
Yeah.
I beautifully wrapped those.
Yes, having just grown them myself.
Oh, okay.
With my own seed.
Wow, so glad that I know people are doing that.
Yeah. I mean, who on earth? Right, it's everyone around someone's house, right? And they might have a pop yeah. plant. And you've gone, oh, that pop plant's brilliant. Did you make that?
Yeah.
And they've gone, oh, no, yeah, I did, yeah. I mean, that's not a conversation that's ever happened, is it?
No.
Thus, it's not a news story. Thus, it's silly season. Silly Gillies, give us another headline.
Ton up drivers.
All right.
I don't understand. Is there a pun in that?
I don't know.
Ton up.
Ton up drivers.
I don't know. Is it where?
Ton up drivers.
Yeah, okay.
Well, a ton is a speed, 100.
Yeah.
So it's something to be driving at 100 miles an hour. Maybe pronounce it wrong. Maybe it's turnip driver. Maybe someone's spotted a turnip driving a car. That sounds like a silly season story to me. That's my guess. A turnip has been spotted driving a car.
Let's find out.
All right.
A total of 100,281 people aged 90 or older hold driving licences, including 248 who were over 100, the DVLA's revealed.
There you see, I got the 100 reference.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
But I admit that no turnips have driving licences.
But ton-up drivers isn't...
Ton-up.
We've missed a pun here.
Well, I don't care or understand.
Why has the DVLA released that?
Because it's silly season.
Yeah, but it's not on the DVLA. The newspapers don't ring them up and go, sorry, can you provide some news, please?
Yeah, they might do.
Really?
Everyone helps each other out.
Everyone.
Because there's nothing to write about. Okay, headline number three.
You wet, hop on.
Are you wet, hop on? Do you really want me to have a go at this one?
No.
I mean...
No, I think it's hop.
Oh, like
I think it'll be either beer or rabbits.
Beer made out of rabbits.
No.
It could be both of those.
No, well, so what's the you wet?
Oh, well, if you drop a bunny in a blender...
Well, don't do that. That's
no,
boring.
But I'm not saying do, I'm just saying if. Then you do. It does tend to be a bit wet if you switch it on. So maybe you can make beer out of... Blended rabbits. It's blended craft ale. Craft ale is all the rage now, isn't it? Different flavours and so on and so forth. It's rabbit infused artisan craft ale that's available for the summer. It's a delicious summer drink with the cool taste of myxomatosis. There. Is that what you think?
No, I think so. Hop on. I think it's definitely rabbits. I think it's too big a, forgive the pun, leap to go to beer. But I think it'll be some rabbits.
Just some rabbits.
Getting wet.
All right, let's find out.
You wet, hop on.
Yeah, we know that.
Three wild rabbits escaped rising floodwaters by clambering onto the back of sheep at Dunedin, New Zealand.
Classic silly season, so I love that. they've got onto the back of sheep to get out of a flood.
Marcy, you chose this. Is E-U wet? Is that spelled E-W-E? Yeah, it is.
All right. So if we'd known that,
yeah. Well, that
then my original guess would have been some rabbits have climbed on the back of some sheep. You know, but we weren't going to get it from just that. Marta, by the way, producer Marta, has chosen all of these for us. Okay, next headline, please.
Gloss of life.
Gloss of life. It's a pun. Loss of life. Gloss of life. Someone's drowned in some paint.
Or some nail.
Varnish,
that's it. That's
some
glossy.
To escape a paint flood, some rabbits have climbed on the back of sheep wearing nail varnish.
I think there might be a death involved.
Right. Well, that's not that serious.
Because
that's
it's
not silly.
Gloss of life.
Gloss of life. All right. It's the death of paint as we know it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah?
Let's go for that.
Paint as we know it is dying out.
A jackdaw had to be put down after getting its wings stuck to freshly painted rugby posts in Aberkenfig, Bridgend.
I'm not laughing at that. I mean, I am laughing at that, but not. Yeah, it's a dead jackdaw.
What's a jackdaw? A bird?
Yes.
Okay. Oh yeah, wing.
Yeah, the clue. It's either that or a fairy, isn't it, or something, or a plane. Imagine that an aeroplane got its wing stuck to a freshly painted rugby post. That'd be more news than the silly season story. But gloss of life. I mean, I didn't know whether or not perhaps it was something to do with people emitting. We talked about sperm yesterday in the low sperm count. Maybe there's a plan now for men to ejaculate paint. I don't know, but it's not that, is it?
How does that news become known? Who finds the jackdaw stuck to freshly painted rugby posts?
Well, perhaps the...
Then takes it to a vet and then goes, well, my next call must be the press.
Well...
How does that get out?
Silly season. There are people whose job it is to go around the country finding animals, trapped animals. Sheep rescuing rabbits, jackdaws stuck to posts. Let's take another headline. I bet it's animals. Let's take another headline. Got the hooves. There, you see, I told you. It's all animals in the silly season.
Got the hooves.
This is Doctor Who. Got the hooves. Doctor Who. The next Doctor after Jodie Whittaker will be a horse. There. That's the story. Any guesses yourself?
Got the hooves. Could it be
A horse stuck to a painted
got.
Rugby.
Well, do people call Games of Thrones got? Or is that Game just of, me when I read it?
It got
in
no
the
Game
papers.
Of Thrones. Good, go, get GOT.
So I think it's something to do with Game of Thrones and horses. So maybe the next episode of Game of Thrones is going to be a horse heavy one.
Similar to my Doctor Horse one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doctor but... Hooves. Let's find out from Silly Gillies.
Firefighters freed a calf with a rear hoof stuck in the top of a 4-foot tailgate in Huntingdon.
See, it's trapped animals.
Yes, lots of trapped animals. Gonna get season.
Let's get one final headline.
A wheel rotter.
A wheel rotter. Somebody has a wheel rotter.
A wheel rotter.
What that is a real, it's a pun, isn't it? So that should be a real rotter.
A real rotter. Music ran out, but that's fine. A wheel rotter.
A wheel rotter.
A man has rescued... It's going to be animals. A man has found a cow with no legs in, let's say, Atherston. Right, and he's nailed wheels to it where the legs were, and he's wheeled it round, but it died and it's rotten.
I think that's a bit too convoluted. I'm gonna go for theft of some tyres, tyre theft.
Okay, let's find out what that story is.
A mum in labour got a divorce after her husband wheeled her in a barrow to her parents' house instead of driving her to hospital in Kabanana, Zambia.
Well, I wouldn't have guessed that, if I'm honest. I wouldn't have got that one.
You didn't even get the place right.
No. So there we go. That's Toby Gillies, Silly Gillies, with his Silly Season.
That was Silly Gillies, Silly Season. Yeah.
Next, we will be... Next, work experience punditry as work experience... That was ridiculous. Rory is going to join us. He'll be taking us through geeky, gadgety stuff, of course, a roundup of geeky tech stuff that's been released this week. Also, the big debate at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Later as well, we'll be talking to Hugh Stevens, the presenter. He's involved in the Mercury Music Prize, which has been announced. The shortlist has been announced today, so he's going to be on the phone talking to us about that. And Paul Rossmaster, the quiz about Paul Ross, will be on after 3:30. Today, China, out of Love Island, will join us to have her knowledge. Is a her, right?
Yeah.
Well and truly tested on Paul Ross questions. But just after 2:30, Victoria's got the news on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
The Justice Secretary says improving security in prisons is his top priority after a rise in violent incidents in England and Wales. There's also been a record number of inmates being mistakenly released. A major study has been commissioned to look at how EU migration affects the UK, but the research is not due to be completed until September next year, which critics say is too late. Home Secretary Amber Rudd says the UK must remain a hub for international talent. Her Labour shadow, Diane Abbott, says it's already clear that migrant workers are doing vital jobs.
Social care in London would collapse without EU migrants. They make a very big contribution to the NHS, to education, to financial services. It's belated of the government to start to understand their key significance.
A team of scientists is questioning the advice doctors give that you should always complete the full course of antibiotics. The article warns it could be driving drug resistance. Prince William says he's been so proud to serve as an air ambulance pilot. Today is his final shift in the job before he takes up royal duties full time. And Ed Sheeran and Stormzy have both been nominated for this year's Mercury Prize. Alt-J and Blossoms have also made the 12-strong shortlist for the prestigious award. The weather, breezy with some sunshine and blustery showers. Some of them will be heavy and thundery, highs of 20 degrees. There's more in just under half an hour.
Yes, there is, Victoria, and you will be bringing it to us, no doubt.
I will.
And also bonus news in around an hour's time. But today we bring you animal news. Although there was a lot of animal news in the Silly Season roundup just then.
Stealing my thunder.
I hope we haven't stolen your thunder. So, also we're bringing you facts about chickens today, by the way. This is to do, of course, with Liam Fox. Fox and chickens. He's got an obsession with them. So, but people don't know. I've been hearing about chickens in the news, but people don't know a lot about chickens. Cornelius, you've got some facts about chickens that have been coming
I do. Where are they? Just here. This is from Michael, who says chickens cannot be hypnotised. They only pretend to make humans happy.
Yeah, we read that one out last time, but that's absolutely fine. So this has come in as well. When chickens, this is very interesting from Ian, when chickens come across a cowardly chicken, right, they accuse it of behaving like a human. It's an interesting fact, isn't it? That's very interesting. Contrary to popular belief, says Sue, not a single chicken has ever been spotted crossing anywhere near a road. Not ever. They tend to steer clear of roads due to the danger of the traffic. So these are all good facts. 87222.
Start your message with the word Talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message anywhere you like.
For your chicken-based facts, please. You're listening to Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes.
Did your husband accidentally transfer the contents of your joint account to a Nigerian prince called Trust Me Good Man? Perhaps you bought diet pills on the internet that made you frightened to cough. Or maybe your exotic mail-order bride turned out to be a Ukrainian pig farmer called Igor.
When the con is on, you need a man who's on it. Listen to the Radio Hustle with scam-busting supremo Alexis Conran and get the inside track on all the latest swindles, schemes, tricks and traps the fraudsters are using to get their hands on your cash.
Get tipped off, not ripped off. The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man.
Saturday afternoon from 1 on Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, there's a lot of news around today. Of course, protests in Jerusalem, where Islamic leaders have told worshippers to return to the shrine, where authorities have removed metal detectors. Of course, we were hearing about that in the news yesterday as well. Speaking of shrines, Diana's grave robbed by ghouls. Not like ghosts. I don't mean that. I mean, like, that's just a colloquialism to term people who would go around grave robbing. Not that they have robbed it, that they tried to. That's according to Earl Spencer. That's in the news today. We've been hearing about antibiotics and how maybe you should not take the full course of antibiotics if you start to feel better. Although the advice, as we heard earlier from the antibiotics charity, is that always listen to your doctor, because it's all down to you being an individual and how ill you are. And also, of course, massive news was that some rabbits climbed onto a sheep. It's all very complicated, isn't it?
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
A lot of
it.
People can't, Cornelius. We're here to help, though, and we're here to help using short-form oriental verse. That is the best way, and we have researched this, and the research indicates that the best way to help you understand and analyse current affairs is with Japanese poetry. Five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. We present the news in haikus.
Don't finish antibiotics anymore, as that's what someone said.
The news in haikus. Rory joins us. He's our work experience. Hi, Rory.
Hello, John.
And you have been told, I understand, just to get this out of the way straight away, is what you have been told is work experience punditry. It's where we take you, the work experience, bring you out of the office, where you must have been having a dull old time.
Oh, it was awful.
Yep. Put you in front of the microphones to review stuff. Yeah. Leg up into the industry, isn't it?
I mean, I've been told I'm giving a full-time show next week.
That's right. All of it's a lie, Rory. You're only here because you're free. You've been looking at tech stuff for us.
I have, yes.
Let's do one before the traffic and travel. Okay. To hell with it. What are we going to start with?
Well, we'll start with a fairly serious one, actually. It comes from our good friend Boris Johnson, who says that he still wants migrants to work in the technology industry post-Brexit.
Right.
It came when he was in Sydney, speaking to a group of tech entrepreneurs who were concerned over the availability of tech jobs post-Brexit. He was said, people who have energy and talent and ideas can still come to the UK.
He's very much going around with his open trade deal door, isn't he? And he's in Australia, as you rightly say, doing this. Because we have to do that now. We have to. That's the point, isn't it? We've got Brexit, so he's having to go to, you know, other nations. America has been done, of course. We've been hearing all about that. But now Australia, you're absolutely right. So the idea then is that what? One big happy family, Australian talent to come over here? Is that what he sort of...
Well, he didn't really seem too sure on whether it was just Australians or all tech entrepreneur talent. He was just saying it to the Australians to keep them happy. So this was an article that came out in the Metro, and it was just saying that tech talent in general was what he was looking for. He didn't seem to be specifying too much on a certain place.
Right, okay. So is there a fear, I presume there is, a post-Brexit then, that the tech... Because, you know, on this geeky, gadgety slot, we review some terrible, terrible things that are pointless, as I'm sure we'll go on to.
Oh, we've got a few, don't worry about that.
But this is... He's encouraging us to come over here and make more stuff we don't need.
Yeah, basically, that's it. And I think the entrepreneurs were worried that there wouldn't be a place for stuff we don't need post-Brexit. So he was just guaranteeing that there is a place for unnecessary technology items.
Good. All right, well, that leads us in very nicely, actually, because that's what we're going to be getting on to. So, by way of a hello, that's Rory. First time on the Work Experience Punditry, of course. Out of interest, what's the most boring thing someone made you do in the office?
Make you a cup of tea.
Great. Thanks, Rory. Rory, staying with us. And did you spit in it?
Twice.
Okay. Doing Work Experience Punditry Gadgety Review. More of it next on Talk Radio in the afternoons. Traffic and travel on the way.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
All right, Merce. You know I've changed my Sky Sports Fantasy football formation to 2-6-3.
Is that allowed?
No, it doesn't even add up. But I'm in your head now. You were never much cop as a manager, were you? Walsall didn't exactly hit the heights. Why put yourself through it all again?
Get out of my head, you mind-bender!
Go head-to-head with your mates in our prize leagues. Let the mind games begin. Download the free Sky Sports Fantasy Football app now. 18 plus, terms and conditions apply.
And gently pull away. Very good, Miss Riley. Now, continue at this speed, and when I tap my clipboard on the dashboard, I want you to brake immediately in a controlled manner. Oh, excellent. Lovely bit of braking.
The Goodyear Eagle F1 Asymmetric 3, helping you stop short on both dry and wet roads. Visit goodyear.co.uk to find your local dealer. Goodyear, made to feel good.
Now, Miss Riley, let's see a three-point turn.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shave and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shave for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
On the M5 southbound in Gloucestershire, two lanes are closed and traffic's queuing. Expect long delays there between Junction 9 and Junction 10 for Cheltenham. Congestion is actually backing up to Junction 8 with the M50 and travel time is expected to be an hour there. On the M62 in West Yorkshire, westbound, one lane's closed due to a broken down lorry between Junction 32 at Pontefract and Junction 1 at Castleford, and the M6 in Lancashire. Northbound, one lane closed is due to emergency repairs at Junction 35 Carnforth and Junction 36 Kirkby Longsdale. I'm Al Booth.
At the Co-op, 2-pack Baby Gem lettuce, 230-gram packs of Vine tomatoes and 125-gram packs of trim salad onions are just 79p each. Perfect for your hungry herbivores. Another deal for you from the Co-op. Subject to availability, varieties as stocked. See participating stores for details.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions.
Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy, de-lovely, Delaney.
Stop, look, listen to Sam Delaney.
Get involved.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
3:15, Rory's joined us. He's our work experience. He's looking at geeky, gadgety stuff. More of that momentarily. But the news is very complex.
I can't get my head around it.
I know. Extra bonus Japanese poetry today because there's so much news to get through. Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Trump bans trans army. Soldiers, ironic as he's both a and a.
Yeah. He is examples of both sets of genitalia. So, Rory's with us, as you know. Hello, Rory. Welcome back to the programme after the adverts, Rory.
Hello, John.
Yeah,
thank you.
We do make you stand outside during the adverts, just because we don't want the awkward small talk.
No. But anyway, thanks for coming back in. We don't talk to the work experience apart from this slot. Obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, it's, I wouldn't fraternise, frankly, Rory. But anyway, we talked about Boris Johnson. He wants to bring people here as part of trade agreements post-Brexit to make more stuff we don't need.
Yes, that is correct.
So what have you got that we don't need?
This is actually something that people definitely think we don't need. Beacons have been put on the top of Manchester buildings to send local news to your phone. So people who are walking around can just get a pop-up of the local news in that area as they walk into a new area. This is a service being introduced by a Google-funded trial, and it's in partnership with Manchester Evening News.
But you could just get that anyway.
Yeah, I think it's to... Because you know how we're really lazy these days, and we don't like to actually open an app. I think it's more the fact that it'll come up without even having to open an app.
Right.
But in saying that, you have to have Chrome on your phone and also go on and change your settings to receive updates from the physical web, which I feel like people won't know how to do anyway. So,
well, I just think it's slightly unnecessary, because if you are in the local area, I mean, the importance of local news, let's not underestimate that. Who doesn't like hearing the tales, as a recent headline in my local paper went, horror for granny as yobs poo in garden. That happened.
Heart-hitting story.
Isn't it? And that was the front page. And without that level of local news, I don't think I'd get through the day. So I'm pleased that it exists, but I'm not sure I'd want it just popping up willy and also nilly.
Yeah, well, it does say the aim of the beacons is to help people re-engage with local news. So people obviously think that people don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
So they're trying to push it into people's faces so then they're forced to read it and know exactly what's happening in local news.
You could just do that with billboards of news, couldn't you? You don't have to have it popping up on people's phones. But also, if you're walking around, your phone's probably in your pocket.
Not anymore. Have you seen the video online of the people walking into all sorts of objects, lampposts and cars and things, just because they're all looking at their phone and they're not looking at where they're walking?
Well, then they are idiots.
Yeah, well, that's quite true.
Yeah. Why do we know why they've chosen Manchester particularly, have they said?
They've not said. I'm assuming it's because Manchester's always at the heart of all kind of new waves of things that hit the UK. It always seems to start in Manchester.
Right, well. And why not?
Why not, exactly.
But these beacons what are they?
They, as far as I could see, they're almost kind of like antennas.
Okay.
Kind of 10 metres across, and they cost £30 to put up, apparently.
Very cheap.
Yeah.
It is cheap, but it's pointless again, though, isn't it? With geeky gadgets and stuff, I always think, well, what's the point of that?
I don't know, but at that price, I want to put up a beacon.
Do you?
Yeah. and you can light it, and then everyone else who has one will light theirs. And,
that's how news spreads across the nation.
Yeah.
Like in the olden days.
Yeah.
We could do it. You could do it. I suppose you could take it to the nth degree. Like, I could broadcast. If it's only 30 quid, I could put several up around London and just broadcast what I'm doing. Just news.
Mm.
Just John Holmes news.
Yeah.
I mean, it would
like,
be,
what type of news would that be?
It'd be quite boring.
Yeah.
But, because I don't really do much. But like, you could do, I mean, anyone could do that. Could we all set up our own beat? I mean, it'd get confusing after a while.
Mm.
But I suppose you could.
But then, wouldn't people have to have the certified John Holmes app?
Well, people would clamour for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's Manchester. a pointless thing we don't need. Good. Yes. Next.
This one comes from The Guardian.
I'm not saying Manchester's a pointless thing we don't need. That's not what I meant.
Well, that's a different debate,
totally. I meant the beacons. But go on, carry on.
Yeah, this one came from The Guardian, and I quite enjoyed the headline. It was, "Killer Robots? Musk and Zuckerberg escalate row over artificial intelligence." It's what The Guardian called the nerdiest fight ever, as Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and the Tesla CEO Elon Musk are arguing over the increase of artificial intelligence and the dangers it will have. Musk has voiced concerns over the potential dangers of humans becoming second-class citizens to artificial intelligence or robots, and we could see a Terminator-style uprising. He was quoted to say, "I keep sounding the alarm bell, but until people see robots going down the street killing people, they won't know how to react."
I mean, we're a long way off that, I would argue.
Yes, well, that's Zuckerberg says that the warnings are pretty irresponsible and that he's optimistic about how artificial intelligence can be used in the future.
I mean, that's where these local beacons could come into their own, if you think about it.
Maybe they
could
control the robots in some way to stop them killing people in the streets?
Yes, if the technology is available, but other than that, I would, if walking around my local area, I would relish a vital local news update that there was a killer robot.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Possibly rampaging through this very shopping centre.
That you wouldn't want to go into an app to open. You'd actually have pop-up on your phone.
I'd want that warning, I think. So that's where the beacons could help. Artificial intelligence, though, it's one of the... Again, we were talking about being silly season earlier. A lot, though, these stories crop up time and time again. Where do you stand, Rory, on the notion of killer robots in the future?
I feel that, I mean, you always got to be open and prepared in case these things happen, but yeah. I feel it's a little bit unrealistic.
How would you fight a killer robot out of interest? What would be your first move?
Get into water, because electronics wouldn't cope in the water, and then they'd melt down and you'd be fine.
Good advice, actually, there. Although you would possibly get electrocuted. So say, for instance, an artificially intelligent toaster, right, was after you.
Yeah.
Specifically. With its browning mechanism turned right up, so like maximum burn.
Yeah, so and like past tan sort of stage.
I mean, properly, you know that you get the dial, don't you, on the on the toaster, right up to the burnt toast setting.
Oh, really?
And it's coming after you.
Yeah.
And you've chosen to shelter in water, as you just intimated.
Yeah.
But the toaster then knows it will kill itself, but it knows it will get
sort
you.
Self-sacrifice sort of thing.
Straight in the water.
Yeah.
Dead Rory.
Yeah.
See, so your method of robot avoidance is not perhaps as robust as you thought
maybe
it was.
Got to think that one through a little bit more.
Yeah, but your advice to anyone chased by a killer robot. I mean, people are looking to you as an expert now due to your reviewing of geeky gadgety stuff. So, is getting into water. Like the advice is the same when you get stung by bees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
robot bees.
Oh no, I don't even want to think about that. That's like combining my two least favourite things, bees and killer robots.
Yeah. Do you not like bees? What's wrong with bees?
They sting you and they're all over you in the summer and you're trying to have a picnic and you're enjoying your jam sandwiches and there you are, bees everywhere.
No one's ever enjoyed a jam sandwich.
True.
Wasps.
Oh, even like worse.
Worse.
10 times worse.
Do you know,
almost as bad as huntsman spiders on your glass window.
We were
really
talking about this earlier, of course. Did you know though there's such thing as a tarantula wasp?
I have heard these rumours.
I have been in the vicinity of a tarantula wasp,
right?
And they are A, enormous, and B, they are the second most painful sting in the world. Not even painful sting. I think it's one of the most horrific pains in the world if you're somewhere a tarantula wasp. I was... Where was I? Costa Rica.
Okay, yes.
Where
very exotic.
The tarantula wasps. And you don't want to mess with them.
Oh, I've just seen a photo in front of me, actually. of the Tarantula Wasp, and they don't look nice.
No, they're not. No. You just Googled that. Right, good. Okay, fine. All right, so good. We know killer robots are coming, and Musk and Zuckerberg. They should make robot effigies of Musk and Zuckerberg and let them battle it out for the future of the human race.
That would be amazing.
There we go. On Facebook Live or something. So next.
Ironically.
Next, yeah.
Well, we got a quick one about almost as much business as it is gadgets, that Samsung are predicted to top Apple's quarterly profits. With the release of the new Samsung S8, they're seen to have bring in more profits this quarter than Apple, but Apple are already spreading rumours they're going to release their own new phone in September, which will then put them back on top.
Well, this September?
This September, yes.
Oh, are they?
It's their 10-year anniversary, apparently, right, of the original phone.
Oh. See, I need a phone update, which I keep getting texts about from my phone provider. That, now, do I have to then wait to September? If I go and get one now, I'm going to just miss out on the new one, aren't I?
Yeah, that's how they get you.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it's all tactics.
The headphones have stopped working on mine. That's what I have to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very irritating.
So you're going to get the new headphones that don't attach to the phone.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying.
All right, well, that's thrilling. Galaxy, of course, have got to bring out a new phone because the last one they did caught on fire for everything.
Yeah, so. Well, exactly.
So, all right, anything else?
Yeah, one story which is really going to be pleasing for the celebrities of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Verified Twitter users have now got their own dating app.
What?
So, I assume you're on Twitter, John.
I am on Twitter.
I actually follow you on Twitter, so I don't know why I asked that question.
Oh, all right, thank you, Rory. I am on Twitter, yes.
So, the existing dating app, Love Flutter, which is kind of a Tinder-esque spin-off.
I've never heard of Love Flutter.
Neither had I until I saw this article earlier today, had released a new blue version of the app, which only allows verified Twitter users to be a part of it, and they swipe left and right in sort of Tinder style.
So it's just going to be full of
posh people hooking up.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, but what is interesting is that the app will only be used if they get over 1,000 members signed up to it, which they don't have right now. And right now it's only available in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, London and Tokyo. And the idea was to kind of get over the whole catfish thing that's happening and to use, as they called, the levering Twitter's world-class verification system to make dating safer.
Right. So, but people... Can't anyone apply for Blue Tick now? Cornelius, you know about this. Because the Twitter tick. Can't anybody apply for it now?
Yeah. So I look like, I believe, I'm about to get one.
Are you?
Because I applied for it last week.
That's how low the bar is,
so,
right?
So Cornelius could be dating some celebrity by the end of next week.
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
If he goes,
Beyonce.
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah. Yeah. But that just tells you how worthless that is if Cornelius is allowed one, doesn't it? So
maybe I should apply for
it. It's taken the edge off
having
for me.
Appeared on this show.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm on the show every day, so. You can't just literally pop your head in.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we're out of time, Rory. Thank you for that.
Right.
Is your mum got a blue tick? Because you can meet her on that.
Nope.
Okay. Right, Rory there, work experience, punditry, geeky, gadgety stuff that we don't need. Thank you, Rory. After the news at 3 o'clock, of course, the big debate. It's the big debate at three. Hugh Stevens, the presenter, will be on the phone talking to us about the Mercury Music nominations that were announced today. And after 3:30, somebody out of off of Love Island, not sure who, will be joining us to play this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster. It's Talk Radio in the Afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. Welcome to New Sky Sports. Now with new channels dedicated to the sports you love.
Final act then of an unforgettable drama here at Trent Bridge.
The history books rewritten by 12 heroes in Chicago.
Lewis Hamilton wins the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Feel every moment with new channels dedicated to the Premier League, cricket, golf, football, plus our dedicated F1 channel, New Sky Sports. Feel it all.
We all like to feel our money is safe. That's why I, an ordinary little piggy bank,
I'm becoming an armour-plated, rivet-reinforced, titanium-clad piggy bank.
And your money is just as safe too.
Because should anything happen to your bank, building society or credit union, the Financial Services Compensation Scheme protects up to £85,000 of your money. Search FSCS Protected for more information.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In July, we've got a 10-litre tub of white Dulux Trade Supermat for only £26.95 ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. To find more real deals and your nearest branch, go to selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
Score the biggest deal of the Premier League and save an unbeatable £900 versus Sky over 18 months with Britain's lowest price Sky Sports bundle from TalkTalk. For just £28.45 a month, get award-winning TV, all eight Sky Sports channels and unlimited broadband including line rental. But hurry, the big summer save ends 17th of August. Search TalkTalk TV now. TalkTalk. For everyone. Based on slower broadband speeds than BT and Virgin. Competitor contracts for 12 months. Sky has more channels. Contract and conditions apply.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
At exactly 3 o'clock. Good afternoon, Thursday. I'm John Holmes. Victoria's got the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, record number of inmates mistakenly released. Madonna wins damages over adoption article. And the Mercury nominations are out.
Talk Radio.
More prisoners were released by mistake in England and Wales last year than at any time since current records began. Official figures show 71 inmates were let out in the 12 months to March. Violence has also reached a new high. Francis Crook from the Howard League for Penal Reform says the system is in a mess.
We have far too many people who are spending too long in prison. We have lots of people who are being recalled to prison when it's not necessary. That's for administrative reasons. We have a penal system. It's not just prisons, but the whole system is in chaos and is not functioning well.
The Justice Secretary says improving safety and security in jails is his top priority. A major study has been commissioned to look at how EU migration affects the UK. But the research isn't due to be completed until September next year, which critics say is too late. A serious case review has found professionals missed opportunities to prevent two British teenagers being radicalised before they were killed after travelling to fight in Syria. It's believed Abdullah and Jafar Zerghaze from Brighton were with the Al-Qaeda-affiliated Al-Nusra Front when they died in 2014. Madonna and her two adopted twin daughters have accepted undisclosed damages over a Mail Online article which invaded their privacy. It was posted in January ahead of their adoption and revealed their names, race, age and the fact they still lived in an orphanage in Malawi. And Ella Eyre says she's not surprised to see Ed Sheeran on the shortlist for the Mercury Prize. The singer, who's nominated for his album Divide, is up against 11 other acts, including the XX, Alt-J and Stormzy. Ella, who's on the judging panel for the awards, says Sheeran deserves to be in the running.
You can't deny the success of that album. You know, it's going to go down in British history. And you know what? You can't deny the fact that he can write a good pop song, catchy as hell. And even if you don't like some of the songs, you're still singing them.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Are you still singing them, Victoria? Are you singing them?
I mean, I'm not singing them right now, but they are catchy.
Would you like to sing one right now?
No.
Would you like to sing the weather?
No.
Go on.
No one wants to hear me sing.
Don't
it's
they?
Terrible.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, we all know. We all do.
No, just you, and I don't respect that. So, a breezy day with some sunshine and blustery showers, some of them heavy and thundery, highs of 20 degrees.
Thank you very much indeed. And now here's Toby with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update with Selco Builders Warehouse. Tons of stock on the shelf, all at trade prices. Selco's got it.
Selco, it's where the trade go.
Good afternoon, I'm Toby Gillis. England's cricketers have lost captain Joe Root for 29 on day one of the third test with South Africa. That's the second wicket since lunch at the Oval. A short time ago, the hosts were 114 for three in their first innings. The Tottenham legend Les Ferdinand has told TalkSport Harry Kane will stay at the club for at least two more years. While the striker waits to win a trophy at the club, he continues to be linked with moves away. But Ferdinand says Kane won't be lured anytime soon.
He's definitely Spurs through and through. I don't see him going anywhere. I
think he'll be at Tottenham for another couple of years at least. Yeah, of course he wants to win things. You know, every player wants to win things in their career. He's at a place where he believes he can do that. They believe they've got the right manager in place.
And the former Liverpool midfielder Danny Murphy has told TalkSport it'd be good business for the club to sell Felipe Coutinho if they can get £80 million for him. Barcelona are said to be interested. Murphy says if Neymar's worth £150 million, then Liverpool's demand for a world record fee of well over £100 million isn't fair. Coutinho can't be put in the same bracket, and £80 million would be a good deal for Liverpool. That's your latest sports news, powered by Talk Sport.
Thank you, Toby, there for the pre-recorded sport. Victoria is with you in about 25 minutes' time with today's edition of Bonus News, of course. Now, regular listeners know the bulletins are short, aren't they?
Well, they're shorter than they used to be, John.
That's right. How much shorter?
A minute. That's a third.
A third off. But Victoria seems to have not have a third off her wages.
Which is the right decision.
It seems wrong, doesn't it?
So, no.
So she brings us the bonus news at 3.30 to make the time and indeed the money up. Animal, vegetable and mineral news today, animal news.
That's right.
And we look forward to it, Victoria.
Good.
And it's going to be happening.
Yes.
So if you need news about animals, stick with us because it's on the way. Thanks, you can go now.
Thank you.
All right.
Didn't really need to stay for that, did I?
Not really, no.
No, thanks.
No, it's wasting your time.
Cheers.
Okay. Big debate on the way. Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, dusky blonde idiot Boris Johnson is in Australia to talk trade, security and the fact that his counterpart, the Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop, gave him a pair of compression tights as a gift. Something he said would help with his running. That's the quote. He spoke in Sydney today and he said that. She gave him some compression tights. No, really, genuinely. And he said that would help him with his running. He didn't add the words for Prime Minister of Great Britain. But that was clearly what he was thinking. Eyeing the tights with a murderous gleam in his eye. That seemed to say, Boris Johnson in the library at number 10 with the tights. Now, Theresa May is at some point found dead in the future with a pair of compression tights around her neck. Stray blonde hairs littering the scene and the remains of some kind of zip wire based getaway from the window. Imagine the headlines then. Theresa May killed by Australian gift. That would be The Guardian, I think. PM found dead, strangled with Boris present. Telegraph. And Theresa May wears tights round neck. Looks awful. Dreadful fashion error. That'll be in the Daily Mail, of course. Anyway, on the line is Emma. Good afternoon, Emma.
Hello, John.
Hello. Thanks very much for calling Talk Radio, Emma. It's good to have you on. Now, you heard me say the word dusky in that there, and I understand that you don't like the notion of dusk. What do you see when you look at dusk?
Well, it's just a rubbish time of day, really, isn't it? I mean, it's between day and night, and it can't have it both ways. Like, why should dusk have its cake and eat it? I can't.
Right. Well, you could physically.
I don't, though.
Yeah, but you could.
Straight to the thighs.
Emma, you could physically have a cake and eat it.
Well, John, don't tease me.
All right. But what I'm saying is that dusk, why isn't, if you are allowed to have a cake, you choose not to, but if dusk, I'm just playing the devil's avocado here. If the dusk is allowed to have a cake, why can't it eat it?
Well, in Greenland, it never gets dark. They manage it. Why, they don't have dusk. Why should we?
Oh, I see. So you would like to adopt the practices of Greenland. I mean, that's fair enough. I mean, dusk, it's lazy daylight, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
Let me bring in Julian, who's also on the line, Talk Radio listener. Good afternoon, Julian.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Dusk, then. It's lazy daylight. Yeah. That's what Emma thinks.
Well, I tell you what, I am in love with dusk, okay? I just love it, right, when it comes. Oh, my gosh, what a moment. Now, picture the scene, okay? It's okay. 10:10 at night. Big Brother has just started. I look out the window to check to see if dusk has happened, and it has. I go outside. I look into the sky. It's purple. It's orange. It's a darker purple. I stay there for around an hour. Just looking at the dusk, I ponder about life, about Big Brother, about why Andrew, the Scottish one, is such a knob. I look at the clouds. I wonder what clouds are made of. Is it a magic dust? I ask myself. I shout at the person across the street walking their dog. I ask him if the clouds are a magic dust. He tells me to F off. I go back into the house. Did that give you a small look into why I like dusk?
Well, it does, Julian. Yes, it does. Thank you. Emma, you
a little story about my life there.
You were hearing that, Emma. Well, it's a story, Julian, about Julian's life.
I mean, I've just got to ask, what do you do about all the bats?
The bats?
The amount of hair extensions I have lost to dozens and droves of bats.
Yeah.
Coming out of their caves, getting all tied up in my hair extensions.
But would you...
me a fortune.
Would you, though, but would you not just be pushing bats underground if you got rid of dust?
Stay there, as far as I'm concerned, John.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's like dusk anyway, it's fine.
It's a let's just talk about the transition period. So basically, the dust doesn't want to identify as day or night. It's non-specific, and it's allowed to do that. It's perfectly acceptable for that to happen.
I think you should choose.
Well, Donald Trump would say that. Donald Trump wouldn't allow dusk in the military, right, would he? Because he would say that it's neither one thing nor the other, but it chooses to identify as non-specific. So, are you being dustist?
I don't like to label myself in that way, John. Yeah. I'm a very open-minded woman.
Right.
But frankly, once dusk happens, nobody can see my fabulous outfits anymore.
Right. So it's a sort of selfish reason for not liking dusk, is it?
Well, what other reasons are there, really?
There's a little bit of light at dusk, though, because, you know, there's that beautiful purple sky. And it's, the sun is still trying to...
It's so 90s, though, Julian.
How, Emma, would you get rid of dusk? You're very well coming in saying, I don't like dusk, you know, oh, I want the daytime or nighttime. That's fine, but what are you going to do to get rid of dusk? I mean,
some fabulous drapery, I think, John.
Drapery. So what you do is you cloak the earth in drapery, or...?
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, at the touch of a button... We'd go straight from day to night.
So just sort of snap day off.
Precisely.
Like that. Just snap it. What about the
sheathe it, if you will.
Sheathe it. What about the free movement of dusk, though? Something that, Julian, I know you're going to be in favour of. Because dusk moves around the planet quite freely, doesn't it? Now, does Brexit change that, Julian?
It shouldn't do. I mean, because, you know, obviously dusk, depending on where you are on the planet, dusk is always going to be there, you know? So I don't think Brexit should really affect...
Taking liberties, I tell you.
Well, are you calling for stronger checks on dusk then, Emma, as it comes to Britain?
Why not? I don't see why not.
So should you then, if you were in charge, would you stop dusk as it moves across the planet, but you'd put methods in place to stop dusk at our borders... where it would be subjected to the correct rigorous checks?
I would.
And what are those checks? I mean, consistent light consistency?
Well, yes, obviously.
Bats.
Also, we'd have some sort of paint chart to check, all the shades of purple.
Right.
And then if it was too purple, we would tell it to...
Sling its dusky hook.
Sling its hook.
No.
Julian, come back in on that, because that's...
You can't have that. That's you're being purplist there, you know.
Well, that's absurd.
What about the orange ones?
They're even worse, Julian.
Right.
Have you ever managed to wear anything that matches orange?
Well, David Dickinson has.
Who has?
David Dickinson, you know. Oh,
he doesn't match orange. He is orange. He gets lost at dusk because people can't see him. He's camouflaged at dusk.
Sort of straying.
He has got a purple nose as well.
Straying off the point there. I mean, that's but maybe not actually. You're right. People who like David Dickinson, right? People like him who are a threat, right? Could easily hide, couldn't they, in dusk, well, Julian? And no one wants the presenter, former presenter of Bargain Hunt, and now that other quiz in the afternoons, hiding where you can't see him, do you? You don't want that, Julian. That's...
He is a Bobby Dazzler, isn't he?
Well, but he should dazzle, shouldn't he? That's the point, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, what's your thoughts? put a number on it, okay? You know, how many, on average, this is just an average, not specific, but an average, Julian, how many dusk?
I would like to say 69.
69 dusk, all right.
Yeah.
What about you, Emma? Just again, an average, really.
I'd say 15.
15 dusk. That's okay. So you're calling for 15 dusk. Mm. 69 dusk is quite a high number. Julian, who's going to pay for that?
I think all the fans of Bargain Hunt.
Yeah.
Would quite like that. You know, the old school fans. Obviously, you know, that Tim Wanacut does it now, doesn't he? Or whatever. But I don't really know.
So is it subscription? I mean, would you change it? I mean, at the moment, dusk is compulsory. Would you change dusk to be paid for by whoever wanted dusk? So Emma wouldn't Emma wouldn't have to pay for it, Julian, and you would pay for it.
Yeah, and it would be a beneficial thing. You know, I don't know, £10 a month, something like that. And that should be fine.
£10 a month to pay for dusk. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. For
Madness.
Well, it would take it off you. I mean, you wouldn't have to compulsorily get dusk. Just those who want dusk. I mean, you can't.
Well, you can't really argue with that. I'd make the fat pay for it personally.
Right. Well, how would you? I mean, are the government doing enough, Emma? The government doing enough? And what would you have them do?
I would have them ban dusk. In fact, I mean, you could just ban nighttime completely. I mean, it would save a lot of electricity. That might power our cars in the future.
Yeah.
But if you ban that, well, where would people do their nighttime shop? Dusk's the perfect time to do your Tesco shop. You know, you just shove on your best dressing gown and slippers, urinate in your pajama bottoms, and you're ready.
Julian, are one of those.
Some cheeky cans of special brew and Pringles crisps.
Yeah. This isn't about the levels of dusk, actually. There's a dusk shortage, as you know. It's a global shortage. There was a study. Levels of dusk dropped by 60% year on year. Now, there is a thought that if it keeps going in that direction, we won't have any natural reasons. We won't have any dusk at all, which I know, Emma, you're calling for. But it is a problem. This is a worldwide problem. I mean, if we don't have dusk at all, then it means that somehow the light from the sun has got to get round the Earth instantaneously, doesn't it, Emma?
Well, I would assume so. I think we're being very harsh on our sun if we assume that it can't live up to that expectation, John.
Right.
It's served us well so far. I'm sure it will continue to do so.
All right, well, we're running out of time there, so I'm going to bring this to a close. But some fascinating arguments on either side. Dusk, do we need it? Julian, sum up the debate for me in one word. That'll do. Emma?
Bets.
Thank you. So do we need dusk? I mean, it's there, isn't it? It's there between day and it's like lazy daylight. Or is it lazy night? What do you think? Do we need dusk anymore? Could you suck it up with a dusk buster? What do you think? We live in post-Brexit Britain now. We've got tractor tyres and Wagamama. Do we need dusk? Get in touch with your thoughts. 87222, you can start your message with the word talk, or at Talk Radio on Twitter. Start your message with any word that you like. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes, and that was The Big Debate.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. Uber on Talk Radio. Work or not at the touch of a button. Uber. Where to?
My name is Kandas. I'm 34 years old, football lover, father of one. I live in Northeast London. Before I became partner with Uber, I was working as a parcel delivery driver. It was a bit of a nightmare. So much pressure. You know, it mentally affects you. I heard about Uber just end of 2014. Everything's done by app. No one's giving you pressure. You get to meet quite a lot of people, especially at night time after 12. So it's really fun talking to them. I got more freedom. I can work the time I want. I really enjoy what I'm doing. I can see my daughter more often now. She's in year 7 now, so I got more time for her. I'm visiting more countries now, and I'm going to do a few more educational courses as well.
Uber on Talk Radio. Work or not at the touch of a button. Uber. Where to? Visit uber.com/driveuk to find out more.
To celebrate our new sponsorship of Red Bull Racing, Esso is giving you a chance to feel part of the team. Fill up at any Esso station before the end of August, and you could find yourself trackside with the Red Bull Racing team at a selected race this season. Esso and Red Bull Racing, the new fast.
Terms apply. See esso.co.uk for details.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shade and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shade for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
Landlords, Direct Line guarantees to be other insurers' renewal premiums for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? Switch to Direct Line Landlord. New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In South Yorkshire, we have one lane closed due to accident and recovery work. That's on the M1 southbound between Junction 38 and Junction 37. In West Yorkshire, two lanes closed, very slow traffic due to a broken down car. It's on the M1 southbound between Junction 41 and Junction 40. In Cheshire, one lane blocked and some very slow traffic due to a broken down car on the M6 northbound between Junction 16 and Junction 17. And in Gloucestershire, two lanes closed, queuing traffic due to an earlier accident and oil spillage. It's on the M5 southbound between Junction 9 and Junction 10. I'm Sammy Jolo.
Gary just acquired a shiny new club for his golf play. A graphite quad axial driving triumph. All because he purchased a new mobile phone deal from Carphone Warehouse. Switch with us and save on average £181 compared with shopping elsewhere. What will you spend it on? Carphone Warehouse. We compare, you save.
Saving compared with major networks over 24 months. Promotion incentives excluded.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. You are listening to Talk Radio. I am John Holmes, and it's just coming up to a time, and that time is just after the last time I told you what the time was. Today, the announcement for the nominees for the Mercury Prize 2017 were spaked by a man who's on the phone now. He's Hugh Stevens, the presenter. Hello, Hugh.
Good afternoon, John.
I will tell you now that my producer, who writes on a screen here in front of me, for you, you'll know how this works, working in radio as you do. Producer writes sort of what's coming up next, that kind of thing, on a screen. Mm. She's written this, Hugh Stevens, Welsh legend, you'll be pleased to know.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll take that. She might have got me confused with newsreader Hugh Edwards, but I'll take that, John.
Oh, yeah, she's nodding, actually. Yes, she did. But, okay, fine. Yeah. Well, we'll take you, Hugh, frankly. So tell us about the music prize.
Well, yes, the shortlist for the 2017 Mercury Prize was revealed this morning. And, it's a strong list, I think. I mean, what I love about the Mercury's every year is it gets people talking about music and artists. And, you know, people hear our albums for the first time. People go, this one shouldn't be on there, this one should, this was left out. And it's a strong list, I think. You know, there's 12 artists on there.
Yep.
Alt J's album is on there, their third album. They've won it before. Great to see bands like Blossoms' his debut album, Glass Animals on there. Big Moon as well, their debut album.
Yeah.
A lot of brilliant UK MCs on there, like Stormzy, Loyal Kana as well, and Jay Huss, and Kate Tempest as well. And then there's familiar names like Ed Sheeran's album.
Yeah.
Is probably the most well-known, John.
It is. Stormzy as well, as we were saying earlier as well. Hugh, stay with us. We'll just have a quick listen to a selection of tunes.
I'm in love with the shape of you. Push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too.
Ed Sheeran there, and that's that was Alt J, Blossoms, Dinosaur, Ed Sheeran. I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it? It's always hard to call these things, because certainly with the music, the Mercury Music Prize, never goes quite the way you're expecting, Hugh.
No, it doesn't. They have 12 judges who have come up with this shortlist, and then they'll decide on the winner. And, you know, these are people who live and breathe music. You've got DJs, music programmers, artists on there as well, like Leanne Havas and Ella Eyre this year. So, yeah, there'll be loads of debating about these albums. They'll listen to them all a million times, I'm sure, and come up with the album that they think is the best album of the last 12 years, of the last 12 months. But, yeah, like hearing Dinosaur on that list, I'd never heard of Dinosaur till today, and it's their debut album. They're a jazz band, and, you know, they were there this morning at the launch, and I think they were genuinely overwhelmed and shocked by it all.
So how do people get on the shortlist, Hugh? Because people can enter them, or their record company's going to enter them, of course, but artists can just put themselves forward for this, can't they?
That's it. Yeah, you can enter the album. I think there's 226 albums, I think I'm right in saying that, that was put forward this year by the artists themselves and by their labels. Then the judges listen to them all, whittle it down to a list of 12, and then one of them wins the Mercury Prize. And it's a huge deal. I mean, obviously you get a nice bit of money as well, but it's one of the kind of cornerstones of the music year, along with the award ceremonies, you know, that happen. To win a Mercury, you're in the history books forever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a big deal. And it celebrates the album as a work of art as well, you know, we all miss albums, I think, but there's some really great albums out there made by these British artists. So hopefully it'll get people listening to those albums.
Indeed, and that's the point, isn't it? It's any album released by a British artist or a band where over 50%, I think, isn't of the members of that band are British.
You know more about the rules than I do, John. I was just the man revealing the shortlist.
Yeah, and revealing it so, so well, Hugh. What do you say? Because you're a Welsh legend. But in terms of discovering new music, this does, as you said, put music front and centre and gets into the mainstream news, doesn't it? And introduces people to these bands that, you know, Ed Sheeran, yes, Stormzy, yes, the XX, Alt J, possibly, Blossoms, but the rest of the lineup, you know, your average person watching this and listening to this might, you know what you're talking about, and Dinosaur didn't come across your radar till today. But it's just a boost for the industry, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It gets people chatting about music and realising that there is a lot of talent there. Because when people tell me music's not as good as it used to, there's not as many talented artists out there, there really are. And I think the Mercury list is a good way of getting people realising that there's good artists and, you know, really great albums made every year. And, you know, it's the tip of the iceberg, of course. But, yeah, I mean, the Big Moons album, you know, their debut album, they're a band who really deserve to be heard. And I think the Loyal Kana album is going to find so many new fans after people have heard his name. I recommend the Loyal Kana album. It's brilliant, you know. Yeah. And there's some really unique voices there, like Sampha, Jay Huss as well, and Glass Animals from Cambridge. They're all really, really great. So I think it's a strong shortlist this year, and I think something for everyone in there.
And as you know, the judges, it's a hard job as well, isn't it? Because you've been on your fair share of you know, judging panels, I'm sure, but in terms of how you do it, is there a case of everyone takes this stuff away to listen to individually and then just has a massive row about it later? Because it's, how on earth do you, you know, there's so many diverse voices and sounds and artists in there, you know, to pick one is very difficult.
Yeah, it must be difficult. I mean, I've spoken to some of the Mercury judges over the years, you know, and they all take it very, very seriously. So they'll live with these 12 albums between now and September, which is when the prize is given to one band or one artist. So, yeah, they live with these albums. They listen to them inside out. And, yeah, that's right. I think they'll debate on the night then. They'll meet up beforehand and figure out which one they think is representative of interesting music over the last 12 months. And it's always hard to guess who they're going to go for because it is down to personal taste. Music's so personal.
Yeah.
Now, one person's favourite song might be the next person's least favourite. And, you know, that's the beauty of music, is that we've all got our own personal taste. So all those 12 judges will put their heads together and come up with the one album that they think deserves to be the album of the year.
Is there any danger with that? Because I've always wondered this about, you know, in judging panels, when if people have really strong opinions one way or the other. So say one of the judges thinks Alt J is the best thing they've ever heard, and someone else thinks Loyal Kana is the best thing they've ever heard. and vice versa, they think the other one's choice is the worst thing. Surely they have to agree on somewhere in the middle. And is there a danger then that something that no one had that much passionate feeling about, but just sort of agreed on, gets the prize?
Well, I think if you look at the list of the judges, they're all really super talented musicians, presenters, journalists, music programmers. And I think music is such an emotional, personal thing that I don't think a record, an album that they're half into will win, to be honest. Yeah. I think, of course, there will be strong opinions in the room, I should imagine, and there will be disagreements about who should win. But I think every album on there is excellent in a different way and deserves to be on the list. So I think they will all make sure that the best album wins.
Yeah. All right. And you know, the one way to, and you, I know you're in touch with the organisers, Hugh. You know, you're the spokesman
oh,
for
yeah.
this. So the spokes legend, if you will. I think what you could suggest is maybe all of the artists go on some kind of, I don't know, island. And make love with each other, right? And then the public can vote, just like with Love Island, which is hugely successful. I mean, I've never seen it. Sounds crap. But that would be, just for the future, maybe a sort of hybrid Mercury Prize Love Island spin-off.
Yeah, I'll put that to them, John.
Thanks.
I can't see him going for it, to be honest, but I'll put that forward, yeah.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. That's Hugh Stevens there. Welsh legend, although Marta thought that was Hugh Edwards. But doesn't matter. He is a legend, and that was him talking us through the Mercury Music Prize. Let's, before we take the news, have a quick listen to some more of the artists. We've already heard Alt-J, Blossoms, Dinosaur and Ed Sheeran. This is Glass Animals, Jay Huss, Kate Tempest and Loyal Karma.
See what he did. The black Benz turned white and they can't believe it. Make them repeat it. That's some new shit. They've never seen it. You should feel it. Meet and greet.
Europe is lost. America lost. London lost. Still we are clamoring victory. All that is meaningless rules. We have learnt nothing from history. The people are dead in their lifetimes, dazed in the shine of the streets.
But know that I've been breathing. Know that I've been holding out, hoping to receive him. I've been holding out for G, but he was nowhere to be seen when I was bleeding.
Glass Animals, Jay Huss, Kate Tempest, Loyal Karma. Again, just before we take the news, there's a 12 in the shortlist, so we might as well hear the final four. Sampha, Stormzy, Big Moon, XX.
No one left, I flew the nest. And you know I won't be alone.
Manchester's better than me. Tell my man, shut up. Mention my name in your tweets. Iru boy, shut up. Better than me? Shut up. Best in the scene.
And it got colder every day, but I'm willing to change my mind. It got darker every night, but I'm willing to change my mind.
I'm in love with it, intoxicated. I'm in rapture from the inside. I can feel that you want to.
There it is, shortlist for the 2017 Mercury Prize. There.
I like the Big Moon there. The third
did you
track
like the
in
Big
that
Moon?
Last one. I've never heard of them, but I'm going to listen to that album on the way home.
Are you?
Yes.
Right, thanks for giving him his information. None of us care about Cornelius. There we are. But I guess, you know, that's what you're there for. I rather liked the sound of Def Leppard, but they sadly not nominated this year. Right,
they didn't release an album.
That's not the point. Right, 3:32. Then bonus news on the way, as well as this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster. Here's Victoria with the headlines.
Talk Radio.
There's a record high in the number of prisoners being released by mistake as violence in jails has reached a new peak. In the year to March, more than one inmate a week was let out due to a blunder, while there's around 72 attacks inside prisons every single day. Francis Crook is from the Howard League for Penal Reform.
I want to see something done about the overuse of prison. I want something done about prison conditions. And I want something done about the community sentences too, which are in just as much trouble as the prisons. So it's a big job. I'm looking for firm action because we need to make the public safe and we need to spend public money properly.
The Justice Secretary insists improving safety and security in jails is his top priority. The government has ordered a major review into how the ending of EU freedom of movement might affect the economy, but it's been criticised because it will report back late next year, just months before the UK is due to leave the union. It's been instilled in us to finish the course of antibiotics when we're ill, but now some doctors are saying the opposite may be true. Experts writing in the British Medical Journal say the advice could be making more people resistant to the drugs. Madonna and her twin daughters have accepted undisclosed damages from Associated Newspapers over an article published about their adoption. It was posted in January and revealed the girls' names, race, age, and the fact they lived in an orphanage in Malawi. The singer took the case to the High Court, arguing it was a serious invasion of privacy and that they wouldn't have had any protection. And an early morning train service from West Sussex to London is the most overcrowded in England and Wales. Southern's 7:16 a.m. from East Grinstead to London Bridge typically has more than 1,300 people rammed on board. That's double the amount the carriages are meant to hold. The weather dry for most tonight, some blustery showers in the north, lows of 11 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be another breezy day with some showers in northern areas. Dry at first in the south before persistent rain later on, highs of 20. There's more in under half an hour.
There's more now.
There is.
Because it's time for today's bonus.
Just the way
news.
Her voice is changes for from newsreader voice. There is.
Yep, the professional facade drops like a kabuki cloth.
Oh, I'm glad you thought it was professional, though. That's good.
Yeah, but it was a facade.
Yeah.
So then we now bring you the bulletins are shorter than they used to be. The time needs to be made up. It's time for Victoria's bonus news today. Is it animal? Is it vegetable?
There's a little clue there, John, to help you out.
Is it animal? Is it vegetable? Is it mineral? No, it's animal news.
From aardvarks to zebras, this is Animal News.
So a dog is being hailed a hero after he saved his owner from a bear that ripped a chunk from his arm while he was hiking in the Alps. So Angelo Metlikovic leapt to safety after the bear was distracted by his pet, Sarah, who started barking at the bear.
Right. Now, was it a bear?
Right. Now, oh I think God. You're starting to choose stories that contain bears or chimpanzees might... on purpose, no. Just so this happens.
No, because I don't like this.
Well,
whatever
stop
this
putting
is.
Bears in the...
But yeah, but this is more about the dog than the bear.
Oh, it's a dog called Bear.
No. The bear is called KJ2.
BJ, what? But there was a. I don't really know about this. There was a TV series back in the.
John,
called BJ
John,
and
John. I know about this. You know about this. Everybody else knows about this.
Yeah, I know they know about it. They don't understand.
Apparently,
it.
They love you banging on about it, but I don't. So stop it. Reports in Italy suggest that the bear, who authorities have named KJ2, is believed to have attacked a man. Shouldn't be laughing. This is your fault.
What?
In the same region in June 2015.
What, his arm?
They put a hit out on the bear.
The region, they put a hit out on the bear?
Yeah. Because it's a dangerous bear.
All bears are dangerous.
Yep.
Bear grills. Take a chunk out of your arm, soon as look at you, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah. He's not a bear, though.
Bear in BJ and a bear wouldn't be dangerous, because he's not a bear.
Is he not?
He's a chimpanzee. But he's called... Basically, yeah, the chimpanzee was the best friend of a trucker. Great, played by
Don't
Greg
Don't look
Evergan,
at me like that.
BJ.
It's your fault.
You're
Victoria.
Encouraging him.
And he was...
It's your fault.
He was a bear, but he wasn't a bear. He was a chimpanzee, but he was called Bear, and from thence...
So a Scottish family are handing off baby Roe on lamb's milk in their living room.
What? Say that again? Oh, you made the noise of the jingle. You just did that. Somebody clip that up.
It's your fault.
All right.
Yeah.
Did I make
so
you
I'll
make,
start that again.
Did I make you make a noise?
Yes. It wasn't a good thing.
All right.
Just to clarify.
Okay.
So a Scottish family are hand-rearing an orphaned baby roe on lamb's milk in their living room after they found her abandoned by the roadside.
A roe? A fish, a roe?
No, a baby deer.
Oh, right, fine. I understand now. Oh, hang on. The music.
I know, come on.
Do you want me to... Shall I...
A baby deer. It's the type of deer. A roe deer.
Oh, it's a roe deer. Do you want me
yes,
to...
come on. So they've named her Fern, and she was abandoned at just a week old in Perthshire. So Maxine Scott, who's also a wildlife worker, took her in, saying she would have died on her own.
Yeah.
But she won't let her watch TV.
The wildlife worker?
No, Fern would have died if she hadn't been taken in by Maxine, the wildlife worker.
Confused.
But Maxine won't let Fern watch telly.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's because if they release it back into the wild, they won't have TV.
Right.
And finally, two marmots have been spotted fighting in the middle of a road in China. The footage shows them at it for almost a minute.
I thought they were just fighting.
So is this a Love Island reference?
No, but it's not known what the dispute was over.
Is that how the story ends?
That's how I ended it, yeah.
People couldn't decide whether they were arguing because one of them loved it and one of them hated it.
They're like boxing.
Marmot.
The marmots are boxing.
Love it and hate it.
Marmot.
They're boxing?
Yeah.
Right. What, wearing gloves?
No.
It's not boxing then, it's bare knuckle fighting.
Mm.
They're bare knuckle fighting.
Okay, the marmots have knuckles.
Sorry, you said they're bare knuckle fighting. Is it a bear?
No!
Is it a chimp?
They're marmots!
That was you. That was the noise you made.
Oh, God.
Thanks, Victoria. That's ridiculous. Andy's been on, by the way. Victoria. Victoria has a beguiling and, dare I say it, sexy laugh.
Oh, no one's ever said that before.
No, because we just heard it and he went, meh! That's it, that was you. Andy thinks you're winsome.
Winsome?
Lose some. Victoria, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Andy.
That was Animal News.
Animal News.
Tomorrow, Vegetable News.
Vegetable News.
And that's it. Right, in the next bit
fungus
of the...
Fungus News.
Hurry up. Fungus News. I want to speak to the Love Island lady.
In the next bit of the programme, a Love Island... stop it. A Love Island lady will be joining China out off of Love Island joins us to play this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
Once upon a time, there was a magical place where you could hear tall tales of beastly boys, ghastly girls, and really awful adults. Story Hour with David Walliams on Talk Radio, in association with HarperCollins Children's Books. Every Sunday afternoon from 3, join Britain's best-selling storyteller as he reads from a selection of his brilliant children's books.
Goodbye, ranky-danky rhubarb! Good riddance!
Story Hour with David Walliams on Talk Radio, in association with HarperCollins Children's Books.
Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching every game? Are you watching every game? Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching every game?
Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
Oh, look! Tom and Mary Wainthorpe are proud to announce the engagement of their daughter, Carrie, to Gareth Shadwell. Aww. Five-door hatchback for sale. One previous owner, full service...
Like getting your money's worth? Enjoy the delicious 99p mayo chicken, part of the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
At Homebase, we're all about summer value for your garden. Like this Qualcast electric hover lawnmower was £69.94, now only £49. Homebase, always low prices.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Lancashire, we have one lane closed due to emergency repairs on the M6 northbound between Junction 35 and Junction 36. In West Yorkshire, delays, two lanes closed, very slow traffic due to a broken down car. It's on the M1 southbound between Junction 41 and Junction 40. In Greater Manchester, one lane closed, slow traffic due to a broken down vehicle on the M60. It's anti-clockwise between Junction 16 and Junction 15. And in Gloucestershire, one lane closed, queuing traffic due to an accident on the M50 westbound between Junction 1 and Junction 2. I'm Sammy Jolo.
Jane is wrapped in Hawaiian seaweed at the Paradise Spa. Her hands have been moisturized with cucumber-infused foam. All because she purchased a new mobile phone deal from Carphone Warehouse. Switch with us and save on average £181 compared with shopping elsewhere. What will you spend it on? Carphone Warehouse. We compare, you save.
Saving compared with major networks over 24 months. Promotional incentives excluded.
There's a brand new mouth in the morning. The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. The biggest breaking news stories, headline-grabbing guests, an outspoken opinion with the man who's waking up the nation.
Total Talk. Essential listening.
Paul Ross is the breakfast boss. Let's bacon roll.
Massive morning radio that's worth going to work for.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast.
Good morning, madam.
Tomorrow morning from 6
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. You're listening to Talk Radio. I am John Holmes, and just before this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster, I can tell you that there's a lot of news going on, of course. The Duke of Cambridge carrying out his final shift with East Anglia Anglian Air Ambulance later. That's his last shift. That's in the news, of course. Should we or should we not take antibiotics? You all right there?
Yeah. Sorry.
I think you need some antibiotics. But up to the full course. We talked about that earlier as well. Those French wildfires, obviously. There's some rabbits that climbed on the back of a sheep to escape a flood. It's all complicated news.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
Don't worry, Cornelius. It's absolutely fine. We're here to help. And we're here to help by bringing you through the news using Japanese poetry. Five syllables, seven syllables and five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Boris still wants migrants to work in tech because that's where he doesn't work.
There you go, that's the news. In haikus. And now it is time for this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster. It's the nation's least favourite quiz. It is based on the life and work of the Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter, Paul Ross. Each and every week it is played, the quiz is played by a different celebrity, all of whom are trying to get some points. And if they get some points, they go to the top of the leaderboard, along with everybody else who has ever played. Today, well, she's certainly of the moment, and who the hell isn't familiar with China out of off of Love Island. Hello, China.
Hiya.
Hiya. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, China.
How are you, China?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're pleased to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Because it's sort of, it's all gone a bit mad for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah, and so how, so, you know, I mean, Love Island, right? I mean, how many times did you have love on the island? Oh, someone loses a signal.
Yeah.
It's bad signal on your island, I have to say. But China, let's tell us a bit of your story, China, from when you sort of landed on the island, you got on the island, and what, you know, kind of what happened to you.
Yeah, so I got chucked into Castle Moore, didn't I?
With the boys, yeah.
Yeah, with the boys. I didn't know I was going to go. I didn't know I was going in like that. I thought I was going into the main villa, but I got told 10 minutes before that I was going into Casa Amor with like four other girls. So it was really, really crazy and really intense.
Yeah.
So obviously, we got to get to know the guys for a few days. Obviously, I got on really, really well with Kem.
Yeah.
And then Kem chose me to go back into the villa with him. And then it all went a little bit sour, didn't it?
Didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm reading that here. Did you. But Kem's obviously.
He went on to win.
We got one to win with Amber, right?
I know.
Were you angry about that, China?
No, of course not. No. Like, I'm really happy for them. Like, I'm really happy they won. Obviously, it was a very it was an awkward situation for me because I went in with Kem.
Yeah.
But ultimately, me and Kem didn't work out, and him and Amber, they're great together, and I'm really happy for them. Like, I've got nothing bad to say about either of them. Like, I really like them both, to be honest.
No.
It was just an awkward situation for me, really. I mean, I didn't ask to go in there on that situation. It just sort of happened, yeah. But it is what it is.
You seem to leave it on good terms with Kem and Amber. Have you spoken to them since the series is finished?
Yeah, I mean, we did leave it on good terms. Like, we were all actually, quite respectful of each other, which was really nice.
Yeah.
Like I say, I did get on with Kem on a friendship level as well. I only knew the boy 2 days. You can't really fall in love after 2 days, can you?
No.
But I haven't spoken since they've been out. But, I mean, I'm going to be seeing them on Sunday, so I'm not really sure, what they're thinking at the moment. Oh. But I'm hoping it'll be okay.
Might get a threesome out of it, you don't know.
Oh, my God, don't say that.
Anyway!
I don't think Amber will be very pleased.
Just quickly, there's been some pictures going around on the internet of you and Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
Yeah. Nothing, not much. We're just enjoying each other's company. Like, we get on really well. Like, you don't see a lot when you're in the villa. Like, you're there for 24 hours a day. Like, people don't actually see the whole story of what's going on. Like, me and Johnny did get on really well as well. So, yeah, we're just getting to know each other, just having fun, really, just enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, I can see that in the picture. Right, anyway, look, China, look, what we're going to do now is throw our regular quiz at you, right? So what you're going to get here are three questions, all right? But they will have A, B and C answers, so you just pick A, B and C, right? Or C. Okay, that's all you got to do.
Are they hard questions? Because I'm not very smart.
No. But believe me, you need no knowledge. You need no prior knowledge, China.
You're going to be surprised at how bad I'll be at it.
It's A, B and C. You're going to be fine. We're with you every step of the way, China.
Okay.
Basically, imagine yourself coupling up with a quiz. That's all it is.
Oh, God.
All right. So here we go with this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster, pertaining to the life and work of our breakfast presenter here, Paul Ross. Okay, here we go. Okay, China. It's a recent film question, okay? So, recent film news. The film Dunkirk tells the story of a quirky British radio presenter during World War II, of course, Paul Ross, who's trapped on a notorious dogging roundabout, heavily forested traffic island in the Maidenhead area. He's then rescued by an amateurish armada of fishing boats and pleasure crafts. Yeah, that was technically the original Love Island, if you think about it, China, wasn't it? Traffic Island. I don't know why they don't get Paul Ross to present it. Anyway, Talk Radio breakfast presenter Paul Ross, under air and ground cover, slowly and methodically evacuates himself all over the wing mirror of a 2005 Skoda Octavia. But this is not the only radio-based tale that's been made into a war film, China. Name the other one. Is it A, Full Metal Jack Saunders? Millennial Radio X presenter Jack Saunders is interchangeable with any other millennial radio presenter, but he's then killed in a Vietnam War-style napalm strike on Radio X's studios in Leicester Square in London. Or is it B, BBC diversity-friendly war film Black Trevor Nelson Down? Or is it C, Inglorious Chris Moyles?
I'm so confused right now, I have no idea.
Give me an A, B or a C. A, B or C.
I'm just going to go for, I don't know, C.
Yeah, it's the right answer.
Yes!
Very good.
Yes!
Excellent stuff, China. All right, here's a question. It's a history question. On this day, give or take a day, the Boeing B-17 flying radio broadcaster Fortress, a four-engine talk radio full-set breakfast presenter, developed in the 1930s for the US Army and codenamed Paul Ross, made its maiden flight. Now, obviously, these days, Donald Trump would have banned any transport plane from the military, making sure they were just port planes, as transport planes are a burden. The enormous flying former host of Endurance UK for the Challenge TV channel was primarily employed by the United States Army in the daylight strategic bombing campaign against German industrial and military targets, all while chatting through the issues of the day with his new co-pilot, Carol Malone. But the B-17 flying radio broadcaster isn't the only radio-based helper of the war effort. China, name the other one. Is it A? Stay with me. Tying in with question number one. Is it A? The evacuation of British soldiers that were trapped in Radio 2's Paul Gambaccini are dramatically rescued by civilians in small boats. Is it B, the Norman D Beach landings? DJ Norman Cook, a.k.a. Fatboy Slim, used to be married to Radio 2's Zoe Ball, and delivers, of course, his famous Right Here, Right Now wartime remix on a beach. Or is it C, Battle of the Bulge, something to do with former BBC Radio 1 presenters' trousers at Radio 1 roadshows throughout the 1970s? A, B or C, China?
Again, I'm just
going to
go for B.
B?
B.
It's the right answer.
Yeah!
It's very good.
Yeah!
Come on, right.
What are the chances?
Final question.
Smashing it, aren't I?
Oh, you're smashing it right in it. Wherever. Music. It's a music question, China. Have a listen to this music. All this love we feel needs no conversation. We ride it together. Making love. There we go. That was Islands in the Stream, China, by Kenny Loggins and Dolly Parton, who were, if you think about it, the original Rogers. That's right, not Kenny Loggins, Kenny Rogers. Love Island contestants, weren't they? The original Love Island contestants, having done it together on an island in a stream. I've got no evidence that they did it. Would you have done it on an island in a stream, China, if the opportunity arose?
No.
Okay.
Fair play.
Yeah. Here's your unrelated question. Science. Quantum talk radio full set breakfast presenters can burrow through barriers that should be impenetrable, but they don't do it instantaneously, a new experiment suggests. Now, this is a process known as notorious dogging site in Maidenhead tunnelling, and it takes place extremely quickly, making it difficult to confirm whether it actually takes any time at all. Now, in a study of electrons escaping from Paul Ross, theoretical physicists have found that on one hand, his particles immediately appear with no initial momentum. In his other hand, his particles exit his quantum tunnel with quite some momentum that is already built up. Here's your question, China. Very simple. Name me five famous hands. Five famous hands.
What?
Yeah, five famous.
Name five famous hands.
Just hands of any kind.
Like famous people that have, like, what? Name?
Yeah. No, or hands. Anyone with hands will do.
Anyone that has hat, any famous person that's got hands.
Yeah.
David Beckham.
Good.
Victoria Beckham.
Very good.
Beyonce.
Yes.
Kanye West.
Yeah.
Drake.
Yeah.
Is there any more? Do I need more?
Well, your time's up anyway. So let me tell you what I had written on the card there. I said, name a celebrity with five... No, I didn't. I just said, name five famous hands. Well, you could have had Handy Andy out of off of TV's show Changing Rooms, but he's got hands.
Okay.
You could have had the Handmaid's Tale, which is the drama, of course, where in the near future fertility rates collapse as a result of sexually transmitted diseases and environmental pollution. You could have had of God, the Maradona Football World Cup hand in 1986, the cattle ravaging hand, foot and mouth disease, or the way you measure an horse. That's what I'd written on the card. So not quite there on the third one, China, but let's go.
Come on, guys.
It's all right, don't worry, because you're just looking for some points. Now, we're going to go over to the scoreboard to find out if you've got some points. If you do have some points, you'll go to the top of the leaderboard, China, out of off of Love Island, with everybody else who has ever played. Cornelius, China.
China has scored.
She's got, come on.
Some points!
She's done it!
Yes!
She's done it!
Yes!
China. Her phone's gone dead. I think she gave up at the end there. She didn't even stay around for the prize.
She hung up.
Yeah, the phone cut out. there. But it's fine, we got through the quiz. There's not much signal on her Love Island.
No.
Anyway, she was nice, wasn't she?
She was really nice.
I have no idea who she is, but anyway, great.
Oh, I do.
I know you do. You watch Love Island. Anyway, that was lovely China, who I was awesome at that quiz.
Yeah, so really well.
Well done to her. All right, that's just about it from us for today. We'll be back tomorrow, of course. But Sam Delaney's with you on Drive, and he's down at the site of Grenfell. Hello, Sam, can you hear me?
Hello, John. Hello, Con. How are you both?
Yeah, we're good, thank you.
We are down at the Grenfell site at Notting Hill Methodist Church. They're doing a vigil tonight. There's a big stage and sound system set up, and people are going to be talking there. At 6 o'clock. I believe maybe performing. We've heard a few whispers about quite big name music stars coming along. So, but we'll just, I don't know, but we'll be out and about at about 6, speaking to people there. In the meantime, we're speaking to a couple of local councillors who are all over this case, giving us the latest, as usual, about the plight of the residents and what people intend to do now with the site where Grenfell once, I mean, it still stands, but not for much longer. So we're going to be finding out what the latest plans are for the site.
Sam Delaney, thank you. Sam's with you from 4, which is next. We're back tomorrow, 1 till 4. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.